All right, welcome everyone to tonight's conference call. Got a few things to cover tonight. Some important points that we do want to make known, and also we want to make a couple of at least one announcement, one real big announcement. As of maybe about 2 hours ago, I saw Massachusetts pop up, and we now have 40 states on board with our endeavor to establish grand juries throughout the nation. So 10 more states to go. I spoke to some people from Maine. I'm expecting them to come in. I've been expecting them for a while. Hopefully they're listening in and they're going to come in. And in Connecticut, I talked with someone from Connecticut that was going to come in and try to organize Connecticut. I think Connecticut's only got about 8 counties, and same thing with Maine. So they could move very quickly to establish their entire state. So anyway, 40 states on board, and we're moving along. And anybody who knows anybody in any other states, make that phone call. Our growth is by networking only, grassroots. We're staying away from any kind of a large announcement through any kind of a source. We've had some people talk about various things we might be able to do, and some other very large groups that could come in, but they're not really primed to do what we're primed to do. In the sense that they don't really understand the problems we really have. Most of the people we have coming in working with us do understand the problems in this country, and those are the people we need at the helm. And we also have to get people who are liberty-minded and ready to receive the principles that we're going to talk about tonight, in order that we can bring honor and reinstate the Republic back to this great nation of ours again. Now, here's very important. We are moving in 40 states. Some states we only have one or two counties or three counties, but other states are moving very fast. So, and of course, some states have just come in. So, you know, it's going to take a little while before they accumulate few counties. But once they come in, it does start to move pretty quick. We've been moving at light speed, I think. So we're doing very well. But all county coordinators, this is extremely important. All county coordinators within any state should be communicating with other county coordinators within their state, no matter where they are, whether they're next door or all the way across the other side of the state. You should be making the phone calls, communicating with these people, and organizing together your state. You know, one or more people need to kind of grab the horn, the bull by the horn, so to speak, and start finding people in counties within your states that have not come on board yet. And it's as easy as just finding a liberty group in a county. You could do that. You can go to meetup.com and you can run your get the zip code or something for that county. And hang on a second. Get the zip code for that county. And you'll be able to find liberty groups. You know, put in Tea Party, put in Ron Paul, Liberty, Glenn Beck, 912, you know, whatever. Just put these keywords in there, and you'll find all these meetup groups that'll pop up. You can make contact with the organizers of those meetup groups, and if you can bring them into the system, then they can. Let me shut this thing off. Hold on a second. If you could bring them into the system, just that one person, they can easily themselves bring in, you know, four or five or six people, and immediately they can start moving towards an election within their county. Everybody should be moving for elections now. Hang on one second. I got to shut down my Skype, otherwise I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah, that thing's distracting you.
Yeah, I know, I can't
well,
even
Well, as
think.
You're doing that, I happen to see some commands for those of you who are on the phone. It appears that star 4 is supposed to bring up a menu of available conference commands. Perhaps raise your hand will be in those sets of, in that menu. And to mute or unmute yourself, it is star 6.
Okay, thank you, Lee. Okay. All right. So anyway, everybody needs to be working to organize their states, and everybody needs to be moving towards the elections. Literally one person could do the election in their county. You don't need that many people to do what we're doing and to get everything in position. Of course, you don't want to file your papers and go forward as a grand jury until you've got counties around you working together and you file it collectively as a group. There's power in numbers, and that's how we have to do it. The only tough thing is if you got a lot of towns and cities, like they had 26 towns and cities in our county. But some counties only have a few. I know that we had Rockland County. Is it Rockland County? Yeah, Rockland County, I think, only had 5 towns. Okay? So one person could have done that. And pretty much almost they did. There was a couple of them. But in any event, go to your sister counties. They'll help you walk the towns. There's a lot of noise in the background here. Go to your sister counties. They'll help you walk your county and make sure that you get postings in every town hall. I shouldn't say walk, but drive your county. And help them, you know. But we have to work together on this. We have to establish as many grand juries as quick as possible. And remember, if you had to call a grand jury together and you don't have enough people to do it, you can call anyone anywhere in the state. I know New York State, I'm willing to travel anywhere I have to help someone in another grand jury in order to fill a rank, to sit on a seat, and make them some decision-making with them. So whatever has to be done, we'll do. But remember, in the beginning, we're not going to really be taking too much of a hold too quickly on cases. We're going to talk about that in a little while. We really want to bring law and order back into our state, into our counties, through the grassroots, into our courts. So let's move on those elections right now. Don't hold up. Okay, a couple of things I want to go through. I put together a short PowerPoint that I want to go through. These are issues I think I'm asked the same question over and over again. This is one of them. And common law grand jury indictments cannot be stopped. Why is this moving without me? I don't know. Anyway, common law grand jury indictment cannot be stopped. This is an important thing. A lot of people say to me, well, where do you get your power? Where do you get your teeth from? How do you enforce? Where do you get the enforcement from? Well, you have to understand how it works. You have to understand the process. And that's the key to this whole thing. Now, you can go Google this in your computer, and you can put in things like, how does a grand jury indict? What is the process, or words of that nature, and you'll find some things. And what you will find is that the prosecutor files it with the clerk, the court clerk. So that's the very first thing. The grand jury issues first a true bill. It's called an indictment. In the case of doing it on their own self, it's called a presentment. The next thing is these true bills are signed by the grand jury foreman. Then they are simply, indictments are filed with the clerk of the court, thus beginning the formal criminal proceedings. It now moves on. No one can stop it. It is a proceeding filed with the clerk. There's not an individual that has any power to be able to stop these things. And that's the key. If we look at U.S. Code 18, subsection 2071, whoever willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, or destroys, or attempts to do so documents filed or deposited with any clerk or officer of any court shall be fined or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. So no one can remove a file once it is put in that is going through a process or a proceeding. No one can, and again, obviously, they can't destroy it, mutilate it, and so on. But no one could remove it. Now, they face up to 3 years that they did. Now, under U.S. Code 18-2076, the clerk is to file. So whoever being a clerk willfully refuses or neglects to make or forward any report, a certificate, statement, or document as required by law shall be filed. Fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. So the clerk must take it. And we will share with everyone, as a matter of fact, we're doing this with our papers that we're filing as grand jurist, which gets filed with the clerk, file on demand. And that file on demand, you know, lays out these particular codes and gives warning that they are not to make any kind of tribunal decision. They have to just stay with what their job is as a clerk and file it. U.S. Code, and this is probably the most powerful one right here. This is the one that answers the questions, who can stop this? What if a judge stops it? What if a judge doesn't want it to go through? What if anybody doesn't want it to go through? Well, here it is right here, U.S. Code 18, subsection 1512B. This thing has a mind of its own today. I don't know why it's going forward here. But anyway, whoever knowingly uses, intimidates, threatens, or corruptly persuades another person or attempts to do so, this is exactly what judges do, or engages in misleading conduct towards another person, like the clerk, with the intent to influence, delay, or prevent an official proceeding. Remember, indictments are filed with the clerk of the court, thus beginning a formal criminal proceeding. No one can stop it. Nobody. Not even the U.S. Supreme Court. Only God can stop it once it goes forward. So, with the intent to influence, delay, or prevent an official proceeding, cause or induce any person to A, withhold a document or other object from an official proceeding, or to destroy, mutilate, or conceal an official proceeding, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. And judges love to break the law and do what they please. And we already have a judge facing 20 years for doing that. Not that we're going to push that, but we're going to shake him up a little bit when the time comes, because he's removed it from the court. And then he stuck it into an envelope, the fool, and put it into the mail. And that's another 20 years, because that's using the mail as fraud, to perpetrate your fraud. So that's 40 years this judge is facing. And they love to do that. They love to mail it back to you and try to intimidate you. But they better be reading the law. They don't know these laws. They're ignorant to these laws. At least most on the state level seem to be anyway. Okay. Guiding principles we must swear to uphold. I want to cover some of these things. And you've heard us talk about this before, but we want to kind of shore it up. We want to put it in one place, and I'm going to put a paper together so people can have this. We must have a sense of justice, and justice is synonymous with virtue. We must have a sense of honor. We must have a sense of mercy. Victims must be restored. If at all possible, grand juries should seek to arbitrate for remedy. Instead of sending them to trial, if you can get the person and you sit down with the person and the victim and they confess, if the victim work out a deal with the defendant, but if you work out the deal with a victim on what is necessary to really restore them back to their form of being before they were assaulted in some way, then we can go to the individual that is the defendant of this. And propose that arrangement. And if we can get a confession from that person and they want to work out a deal, there's no sense to send them to trial, because the whole thing about justice is restoration. That's the key. We have to stop thinking in terms of jail and punishment. That's not what justice is all about. The justice is restoration. And if we can get a confession and even repentance at some point, then, hey, we've just done a good thing and restored someone back into society, too.
Well, that's what their money is about. That's what their money's about. That's why they do this.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Because it's not about justice. It's about money. So, you know, that's why we got here. But anyway, go ahead.
For a crime to exist, there must be an injured party. There can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of this exercise of constitutional rights. It is settled an invariable principle in the laws of England that every right, when withheld, must have a remedy, and every injury its proper redress. So in order to have a crime, you have to have an injured party. We need to grow up. These are principles we must realize. Look at, someone decides their freedom is getting high on pot or some other drug. That's their business. It's none of our business. As long as they're not out, you know, corrupting the morals of our minors and doing these things in public where where our children could be seeing these things. As long as it's the privacy of their own home or whatever, it's none of our business, okay? Whatever you might think is wrong or a sin, that's between you and God, and that's between them and their God. But in any event, the principles, these are the principles we must follow. And the Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just." Let me get back to where I was. I don't know why this thing has a mind of its own tonight. "Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So this is the mindset we must have. And this is what we must swear to uphold: justice, honor, and mercy. And we have to sit and we have to recognize and we have to hold up the principles of common law, which means there must be an injured party for a crime to exist. And for every injury, there must be a remedy. First order of business is to save the republic. You know, a lot of people coming into this, myself included, have some problems that we'd love to get justice for and love to get straightened out. But that's, you know, that's got to go on the back burner. Unless it's an emergency, it's got to go on the back burner. Our first order of business is to restore the republic so that we have a nation to live in, that we have free states. And we can prevent martial law and various other problems that are coming upon us very soon. So that's got to be our first order of business. And so very first thing we need to do as grand jurors is deal with the judge. We need to bring our courts back to common law. That is the first and foremost most important thing. And we need to require federal courts on our state soil to use our juries. And they will leave for lack of interest, ultimately, because we're not going to give them what they're looking for. We're interested in justice. The prosecutor, second order of business we have to take care of. We have to put him back in his box. No more puppet juries. And if that means they can't schedule any trials or anything for a month or 2 months or whatever, because we don't have the enough people involved with us to be able to do all that, well, it is what it is. Justice is more important, and it'll just have to wait a little longer. You know, we have to think about all of the people that are in jail also unrighteously, okay? There are lots of people, for instance, that maybe have been arrested for having a weapon or arrested for driving without a license or something like that. We can get a list within our counties of all of the convictions and people that are spending time, and we can probably get that list categorized. And we can go through those lists and discuss them as grand jury and demand that justice be filled, because these people are in there unjustly. So we have to bring justice back, and we will demand that people are set free in certain categories. It's something we have to think about. Remember, we're the people. We're the owners of this country. We need to stop thinking like slaves. We don't ask for permission for anything. We, the people, ordained and established. We, the people, must rule. And this is how we take rule, by sitting down and thinking about what is there an injustice going on somewhere? Is there a wrongdoing? Are people suffering and they shouldn't be suffering because... I'll just leave that thing off and we'll deal with it from here. Are people suffering? Maybe they're in jail unrighteously. We have to get them out. We can't allow this to go one day further than it can. Okay. As soon as we get power, we have to start thinking about how to solve these problems. And we have another huge problem, and I've thought about this before. I think a few of us spoke in the background about it, and it was brought up at a meeting recently I was at, and someone realized it and brought it up, and I don't have the solution for it. There are a lot of people in jail, and they've been put in there illegally by these judges, even though a lot of them may even deserve being in there. Okay? Well, we have to deal with that problem. Maybe we can just ignore it, those who belong there. But I don't know. We have to think about how to deal with that problem. It's a major problem. But first order of business, again, is securing our borders within our counties, within our states, within our country, and preparing for any emergencies that might be coming down the pike. We know there are a lot of them heading our way. After all, we already are a police state, and we right now at this point are occupied. Anybody who doesn't realize that, we are an occupied country. We have over 100,000, this is a low number in most likelihood, 100,000 foreign troops on U.S. soil right now as we speak. 100,000 U.S. 100,000 troops on U.S. soil. We know we have at least 50,000 Russian troops on U.S. soil. And the people don't even know it. We have to deal with that problem. So the third order of business is to talk with our sheriff. We must educate the sheriff by sharing our jurors, sheriff, bailiff, judge's handbook, and let him know that our door is always open. We have to communicate with this guy. He needs to organize a militia, and this is temporary because it's not up to the sheriff to maintain the militia. But at this point, it seems to be the appropriate individual to bring it back into being. He needs to organize a militia and temporarily control it, and the grand jury will assist him. He needs to temporarily work out with our legislators to reopen our armories, and the grand jury will assist him. We're going to go up and talk to them about it also. We're going to insist on it. We, the people, are going to speak, and it's going to be done. He needs to prepare for the imminent state of emergency that is about to strike our nation and prevent martial law, and the grand jury will assist him. We know that that's their primary goal, is to bring us under martial law. They're looking for that one emergency. They try in every way they can to create chaos. And all they have to do is pull a monetary plug, and the whole thing will just fall apart. There'll be riots in the streets. We need to prepare for this, and we certainly can't have martial law. We need our own sheriffs within each county to deal with these problems and resist any outside forces from coming in. In the event of a crisis, the sheriff is to make sure that all county resources remain in the county and surpluses are to flow into our counties and then to our states, and the grand jury will assist him. He needs to serve notice to all foreign troops on our soil, at least in our state. Every state has to do the same thing on our soil, and let them know they need to vacate immediately. Leave your stuff. We'll mail it to you. Leave now. They need to be dispossessed from our soil. And that is one of the first order of businesses we need to do as soon as we take control of the prerequisitional things that have to be done first, like dealing with the judge, dealing with the prosecutor, and preparing a relationship with the sheriff. But then we got to get these foreign troops out of here. They are a major threat to us. Our founding fathers, they didn't even want American standing army on our soil. How much more would they not have wanted a foreign troops on our soil? They must leave now. So these are the things we have to think about and be looking at as grand jurists, and we need to be organized and getting people into the system. We do not have much time. It is 1 minute to midnight. Maybe it's 30 seconds to midnight. It's getting close, people. There's no more time. We need to give up things we're doing that is pleasure things. You know, it's summertime, big deal. Give up the rest of your summer. Forget about it. Let's save the nation, because you're not going to have a summer next year if we don't do it now. Get on the phones. Call people. Get them involved. Get them out to our website. Have them watch the video. Follow up on the phone call. Get them in to become jurors. Get them to start and get involved with the organizing their counties. Get them to make phone calls. Call people in other states, other counties, or within your counties. Let's get moving and let's get going. We do have quite a few counties that are running for election. We post them as we know they're happening. There may be some that are not telling us. If anybody's running for an election, let us know. We will post it. And we'll try to keep some kind of track of this. As soon as you become a grand jury, what people will need to do is mail me the front page of their stamped papers. It doesn't have to be necessarily filed yet, but as long as they've gone through the election process ready to file, if they send me the front page, we will give them access to, you know, which is the page, the declaration that the grand jury has been reinstated back in that county, with the seal. Everybody should be getting a seal. All that's in the instructions. Give me a page, and we'll start laying out a page where we can start posting what counties have reinstated the grand jury in. And this will be helpful for all of us. It'll give us a shot in the arm, too, as we start to see this page and these numbers grow. We need to get people that are involved to these meetings. These meetings are extremely important, not only for, you know, we always share something in the beginning that'll educate you in the system and common law or in the process. And of course, the conversations are very rewarding and educational. We get to work together and understand the problems better and grow and be consistent. And that's these are the key things. We communicate and are consistent. So we have to organize in order to do that. And so get in touch with people that are in your counties, in your states, that are not at this meeting, and tell them they need to get to these meetings. Also, everybody needs to be taken to workshop. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson. We have to become educated. We have to start looking at these things to have the right frame of mind. So we put together an 8-hour workshop. The first 4 hours is important for everybody. The second 4 hours is most important for those who are organizing to create the grand juries within the counties. We give step-by-step instructions, pictures, forms, fill in the blanks, everything you need to do the process, and so that we do it the same way together throughout the country. So people need to be taking that workshop if you don't know about it. Now, I put it back onto – I put it into the left side here. It is jurist orientation page. This used to be the private page. It's not private no more. We need to get people out here. We need to be studying this page. So just click on that, and it should open. For right now, it's not opening. Why isn't it opening? Oh, there it is. Okay. So here is the page right here. Okay. Everybody needs to be going through this page. They need to be going from the first video straight on through. And we have downloads with some of these videos, zip files for documents and other information in order for you to create your grand jury in your county and get started back on the path of liberty again. Okay, I guess that's it. We'll open up the mics for any questions or comments. Go ahead, Gerard.
Explain to people where they would go to re-see this webinar. The easiest way, because people can teach people with what you just gave them.
Right here, if you click on Monday Night Conference Call, okay, and it's very slow today, so I don't know why, but here it is. Right underneath this flat page, which is where you came in to get the information to come to this webinar tonight, you'll see here the last conference call right here. This was August 5th, so you can go back and listen to August 5th. Tonight or tomorrow morning, I'll post tonight's. Tonight's. But here are the past ones over here, okay? And before we started using Webinar, we were using Liberty Talk Alliance TalkShoe. So right here, this would be the last TalkShoe we had if you clicked on the play button. Or you can click on the drop-down box, and you can scroll through all of our different episodes. We have about 40 or 30 some odd episodes. We've been doing this for about 32 weeks plus what we're doing here. So I guess probably about 40 weeks we've been doing every Monday religiously. We've been coming here and talking to people and sharing things.
We may end up going back to talk show, isn't that right, John?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, keep an eye on this page, the conference call page, because right now we have a bill for the conference for the webinar. Webinar costs $250 a month, and that's for up to 500 people. When we move to 1,000, it's going to go another 100 up. We can no longer afford it, so we're going to be moving back to TalkShoe starting next week. Our next meeting is going to be back on TalkShoe unless we get some money together and are able to pay the bill. So pay attention to this Monday night conference page to know whether we're going to be on TalkShoe or we're going to be on webinar next week.
Yeah, I'd like to address some of that before you open up the mics. You know, John sometimes goes out there and begs for money, and even with much trepidation, you know what I mean? And we get responses back that say, oh, you're all about the money, because he says, throw 20 bucks in, throw 5 bucks in. Well, you know, besides the expenses for this webinar, which is 200 bucks a month, and running all over the state, I mean, when we run out to Niagara and back, it's a $200 gas bill, and we're doing this out of our pockets, and we both have families that we're supporting. And if people want to take back the Republic, our forefathers did the same thing. And I guess, you know, Madison, I guess he was broke when he got to the Continental Congress, so I guess this is nothing new. But what I'm just want to encourage people, just like they tie that church if they do or anything, and if you don't, this is a good thing to tie that, because this here is what's going to take back the Republic. And you get such a value for what you're getting for, which is basically for nothing. You're getting free education here. And everything we do, John has methodically laid it out. You can go back. You can check it. He gives everything away for free. We have a course on how to access the courts that he wrote. I mean, the course that him and I took when we first got into this a couple of years ago, it cost us $300 a piece. And so the book that he made has even more than that course does, because John went in and opened it up and explained it and put it on more of a layman's terms. So basically, that book that you can go online and download and put it into a form and tab it. He has it all set up where you can tab it and everything. Anybody that wants to practice common law or learn common law, I mean, that's a book you would take right into court with you, because it has the fundamental principles. It has everything you need. I mean, it's the course you would take, but it's also a resource. Now, I know not everybody's going to be that intense on this, but this is something that we don't need a lot of people to do. If the people that were interested in it got it and did it, and we got 50, 100 people through the nation, I mean, my goodness gracious, people that really bite down on this stuff, that's all we would need, because they would just go forth in the courts, because the courts are where we have to take it back. They're the new pulpits. When Tocqueville came to this country, the French philosopher, they said, what was it that made America so strong, you know? And he was here studying, because America exploded after we beat England in prosperity, because it was a free nation and people were free to make money. And he said it wasn't its amber waves of grains and its big ports. He said the fact is that its pulpits were on fire with one nation under God. He said that's what did it, that people were united in that. You know, that concept of unalienable rights, and that's what we've lost. We have lost the concept that there's certain rights that nobody can take from us. So these courts that we're going in, when this goes around the nation, this is the new pulpit for reinstituting that common law. And what you get here and what John gives you, I mean, I dare say that law book is probably, you know, if you at retail, I don't know what they get, 600, I don't know, 1200, I have no idea. Somebody who's a law student, though, that gets resources, if they went in there, they would know exactly what it was worth. All they got to do is go through, download it, and open up some of the things that are in there and look at the glossaries, and they would know exactly what it's worth. So anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox. It's just that we're down to the wire. The country's down to the wire. You know, our finances are down to the wire. This whole climax is coming together, you know. I mean, I know everybody in America today, listen, all of us are a ragtag bunch. Everybody's hand-to-mouth out here. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, some of us are not, but, you know, there's more of us every day being hand-to-mouth, you know. And I've been in my own business for 20-something years. I raised 9 children working in my own repair shop. And I'm still going week to week, week to week. That's where they got me, you know. So, I mean, I'm no, you know, and I'm an average guy. I'm an average middle-class guy, the kind of guy that they're trying to get rid of. You know, you're either going to have just the very rich or the very poor, you know, where you take your card, you go get your allotment, which right now they're making that look easier than what I'm doing, you know. So anyway, the point is that this country is on its way down, and we should support those activities and causes that are going to help us. And, you know, a lot of times you'll see class action suits and stuff, and they collect a lot of money. And you know what? The only one who makes money on those is the lawyers. And that's another reason you should support this, because there's no lawyers involved. There's no, you know, when we go to court, we go pro se. You know, we're not there looking to, based on how much cash we can collect. It's, you know, we're fighting on principle. So anyway, go ahead, John. I'm going to get off my box.
Right. Are there any questions in the text that we need to look at first? And I see quite a few hands up, so well, let's go through the text real quick first, and then we'll
go to the there's questions, and I'm thinking here. We really don't have anywhere on the web page that I'm aware of, John, that shows existing or pending elections. I know we send out a notice.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We have quite a few things going on.
Meetup.
For those who did, right, the meetup, that's where it's at. If you go to join our meetup, everybody should be joining the meetup right here. And right now there's some pending people to join in. I won't approve them now, but we'll go through. We've got two people ready to come in. But if we go to our calendar page, okay, we have quite a bit of activities going on, as you can see. Matter of fact, the 13th, tomorrow, is a big day. There's a lot of elections going on throughout the country on the 13th, as you can see. We got elections on the 19th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 26th, the 27th, the 30th, and the 2nd. Well, that's Monday nights. But we also have about three or so that's going to be put up here, right here in New York. We got about three or four more elections that's going to be posted very shortly, and even more beyond that. So we got a lot going on. Now, when we post these things, you get an email from meetup.com, National Liberty Alliance meetup.com. And that email tells you of what the event has just been posted. And the day before, you'll get an email reminding you about the meeting that's going to happen tomorrow, or whatever the event is going to be. And then 2 hours or so before the event, you'll get another email. If you want to sign in for text messaging, all you have to do is click this little doughboy here, and you'll find the instructions on how to sign up for the text messaging. If you're getting way too many emails, every once in a while I send out an email telling you if you get too many emails, you can go into your tool area here, and my profile, your email and notifications right there. We do have instructions on this, but all you have to do is go into that area and come down to the mailing list, and you can receive your mail as they are sent or in one daily email, okay? Now, we happen to know there's about 30 people that have joined into this meetup group, and they came in here and they clicked on don't send the mailing list messages, okay? And so they're not getting the mail. There's no reason for them to even join this group if you don't get the mail and the information concerning the events and the calendar events and all, because that's what we're using the site for. We're using it for its calendar, and we're using it for its email. So if you don't want any email, don't even bother joining here. But then you're going to lose out on a lot of things. And, of course, you know, you can come in here and find people in your county that may not even have signed up yet. You can come to the membership, and you can put in, for instance, I can put in New York, okay, and find all the people in New York. I can put in their counties, okay, and find all this. There's three people in Orange County, New York, right there, just by clicking this in. So this is a powerful site that we're using. It's all set up. It's connected to ours, so to speak. But it handles our calendar. It handles our email for the events, and it also allows everyone to connect to each other. You can click on anyone's name here. And when you get the information, you can tell what where they live. You know, as far as what state and what county they're in. So everyone gets a title of their county. You know. So anyway, it's an important thing, and everybody should keep their email on. If you don't want a lot of emails, just click that button that says send me one email a day. And if 20 emails went through the system, you're going to get it in one big fat email, and you'll be able to scroll through it. And if you don't have time to go through it, you delete it. But at least you can scroll through it pretty quickly to see if there's any important events going on that you should know about.
Okay, wonderful. Charles has a question. He's asking about the oath that is administered after your election. Is it somewhat symbolic? Is this really true? The grand jury is not a real grand jury until it's been filed with the seal. He's just wondering what the oath is for.
Okay. Well, every time we have are called together as a grand jury, the judge will come in and give us the oath. So if we're coming in once a month as a grand jury, we're going to get the oath once a month because there may be new people sitting on that jury, that grand jury. Every trial jury that comes in, they take an oath also. Okay? But
so
we as a group...
I think it's under the impression that it was during the election process.
Oh, yes, it is, During the meanwhile, everyone should come out here and take an oath. I'm looking for it right now. Maybe it's on... I thought it was on this page. Let me go on to the other page. Let me go to the jurist orientation page. Okay, right here, there should be a paper where you can download and take an oath. And as soon as it stops freezing. It's awfully slow today. Okay, join our national calls. Here it is, affidavit and oath for office. Everyone, when they join up, they should come into this jury or jurist or orientation page. They should read through this and follow all the instructions. And one of the instructions is print out this affidavit of oath of office, have it notarized, and give it to the jury foreman or secretary if one has already been established. If one has not been established yet, give it in trust to one of the county organizers. So someone is obviously leading the county, maybe there'll be a couple people. Just give it to those people. They'll hold it in trust until things are organized and we have a secretary and a foreman and stuff. Then the secretary will get it. And the reason why we want to take an oath is because we may do presentments. And I know we're going to do presentments. That's a matter of fact. Before we even deal with the judge, after we deal with the judge and everybody, but before they bring any cases to us, we'll be doing our own. And so we have to have had an oath taken before we do that. So everybody should take that oath of office, give it to the secretary, and that will just be filed in the files. But you will also be taking another oath every time you go to sit on a grand jury when called by the court or the prosecutor and or as a trial jury. Next. Anything else out there, Lee or Gerard?
But that oath is not done at the election for the process of the grand jury.
Yeah, it's not precisely done at it, no. But when you leave, anybody who is signed up should have come through this and taken these oaths and start getting the papers in.
Right.
So everybody should be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We gave the words of the oath that is being taken or going to be taken. So, yes, every jurist, as they come in, there are people that are going to come in a week or 2 weeks from now. We've been elected in Dutchess County already. But when they come in, they need to take this oath and file it, just like anyone else. All right, is there any other text messages? If not, we'll open up some hands, some mics, I mean.
Yep, that's it for the text questions right now. It looks like Joseph Aido.
And Corey has been there for quite some time. So we'll go with Joe first and then Corey. Go ahead.
Okay, Joe, you are unmuted. You're free to speak.
Joseph Aido, you got the mic. Mic's open. He also had a question.
Looks like he just dropped off or he lowered his hand. Next one in order is Corey.
Don, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who's talking?
Oh, it's Joey.
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Hey, how you doing?
Just hanging in here. Oh, I tried to see if I could find that gentleman you was talking about, and I couldn't find him in the Florida section.
Oh, okay. He may be on the call tonight. I spoke with him earlier, but let me see if I can find him real quick. Go to County Organizers, as you see here. We'll come down to Florida. Okay, open up Florida. Florida's got 26 people working in the counties right now, so they're doing pretty good. And his name is Hagen Smith. Here he is right here. And there's his phone number. You can give him a call. It's probably a little too late tonight to call him, but he may be on the call tonight, too, so because he mentioned he was going to try to be here.
Oh, okay. I see.
Okay.
It. Oh, okay. He's in Marion.
Huh?
Okay. Yeah, I see it. Oh, listen, I ran across, it's an app for your phone.
Yeah.
You hear me? Okay, yeah. But we can actually make a site on there, and it's free. And, man, you could have as many people join as you want to. It's on...
it's a free app?
Yeah,
what you want to do here is this, is go to the members page here, the meetup, and you can go to the message board, okay? In the message board, you can post some information on it here, or you can go to files, okay? And you can write it up in a paper and make a document out of it on a PDF and then upload it as a file and, you know, instructions on how to get a free app to do A, B, C, D, whatever. Okay? So you could do that either in the discussion areas on the message boards here or on the files. You can upload a file. All right? So if anybody has... You go ahead.
That would be message on your site?
Well, this is on meetup.com, National Liberty Alliance. How you get there to this page is this way. Look at, when you're up here on our website, up on the top right, join our national meetup. You click on that to join, but you also can click at that anytime, and it'll open up a new tab, and you can get to that site. And, you know, it's our site where we use for calendar and email. Soon we'll get together. As a matter of fact, Lee, have you been making any progress with that other individual that's going to hopefully work with us to build a new website?
No. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you want to make contact with that person. We should try to get together and formulate a plan and an idea, because we're hoping to be able to start structuring and building a complete new website where we can combine these two type of things together in one place. It won't be so confusing.
Yeah, it's been an issue of time right now working on David's action, making sure that his action is all squared away. I've got more time now. I can jump back in that.
Okay. Anything else, Joe?
Yeah, John, this was actually an app for your phone, like a walkie-talkie. And
right. What I'm trying to say is...
like a webinar.
Okay. What I'm saying, though, is you can put up a file, okay, describing it, and people will then find it, and they'll be able to get the information. Well, in other words, we have to write something up on it. If you want to write something up on how to get it, where to get it, and how to work, and anything anybody should know about it, and get it to me, just put it into a paper form, you know, into a digital, either a PDF, or just a Word. I'll make a PDF out of it, and then I'll put it up on the website for us. At some point, we will have a place that's just all one place on one site, but right now we have to use two sites because we need the count. This has a great calendar. This calendar is fantastic. We can put as many things as we want on there, and it sends out automatic emails, reminders, and everything. You know, like I said, the day 3 days before, the day before, and of course it goes out and the day of, and it also sends out text messages to anybody who signs up for that. So it's really very convenient.
Oh, see, this is just like if you're on there, I can just walkie-talk you.
Right.
Come right to you.
Well, that's good for people locally. That's good for people within their counties to be able to get together like that. So that's what it sounds. Write a paper on it on how to get it for free, or, you know, how to get it, and I'll post it. Okay?
Okay, gotcha. Okay, I got you.
All right, let me unmute Corey. Go ahead, Corey.
John, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, we're on a laptop. We've got a group here tonight of about eight people. Sorry, I've been a little out of the loop here. I'm going to shut our microphone off once we ask the question here. Bill has a question here he's going to ask you. And go ahead.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
I talked to someone from Syracuse, one of the Tea Parties out there, trying to gain support from surrounding counties. But she actually informed me of the Constitution free zone that the Department of Homeland Security claims. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I'm not sure I understand the question. A freeze?
It's a Constitution free zone that the Department of Homeland Security is claiming the entire new United States border, and then 100 miles inland from the border is all Constitution free, which is two-thirds of the U.S.
Okay. Well, I muted you so that I can talk because I don't want to hear the feedback, and I'll unmute you again, Corey, as soon as I finish answering that question. Yeah, I have heard about that. And, 100 miles in from the border all the way around the United States, that's just the beginning. Of course, they want to get rid of the Constitution altogether. That's why we need to move quickly. I keep telling people we're in a state of emergency. These are the kind of things you should be hearing about and saying, my God, we are in a state of emergency. If they get a lot of these things locked down and done before we can get into power, we lose. They win. I want to tell you right now, the only thing left is bloodshed. And I hate to have to go that route, but that's what's going to go. That's where they'll end up. The people will be fighting, and it's not going to be very pretty. So, it's 30 seconds to midnight. Forget the rest of the summer. There is no more summer. Forget about it. Talk to your family. They'll understand. You're trying to save their future. You know, even some of us have young children. We want to spend more. But for a month or so, you just can't. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're off to war, okay? That's how you have to look at this, okay? When you have to work every day, we understand that. When you get home, get to business here. We'd much rather fight the fight this way and win the battle this way than the only other alternative that we have left. So,
and the other, there's another possibility here too, John. Mm-hmm. Because they have these constitution-free zones, what do you think they're going to do to us? You think that when we decide to do a grand jury, they're going to bring a SWAT team in and come after us? I don't think that they'll do that, because then they'll be giving us too much.
Well, we can prevent this from happening by taking. You see, I want to explain this concept.
I'm just saying, if it ultimately ends up in court, they're going to lose.
It won't even end up in court, because here's the key thing: if we can get these grand juries throughout the state very quickly in all the counties or most of the counties. We have taken back the judicial process. They are without power if they do not control the local courts. They must control the local courts. And once we control all the local courts, we the people, that is, we also control any federal court on our soil. And so we will shut them all down in that area. And because remember, they rely on the letter of the law to make these people obey. We're going to take that law back, and those people will then be forced to obey the law of the land, because that's all they're going to see. Why? Because we took back the brick and mortar, and we threw out the Admiralty Court, and we replaced back with the Common Law Court. So we can shut it down. It may take a week or two into the system before we can get that kind of a lock on it, but we can get the lock on. We can get it very quickly. And they could never be able to put a border, 100-mile line or border around the around our border that's a constitutional free zone. That's not going to happen then. So we better get active. Give up your summers. Give up your vacation. Give up your fun. Give up everything. You're at war. That's how you got to treat it. Corey, you back up. All right, let me ask Corey. Corey, can you mute the mic from your end?
Yeah, I can do that. One second.
Yeah, whenever anybody's not talking on that end, just kind of mute the mic on that end so we don't hear the feedback. Go ahead, Gerard. Gerard?
If anybody gets arrested, yes, I'm trying. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yep, hello.
Okay, well, there's a delay. I think there's a delay there. Well, I was going to say, if anybody gets arrested in a constitutional free zone for exercising their constitutional rights, we as Americans should flock to that person's assistance and demand a common law court of law. You know, that's where we can hold their feet to the fire, too. Suppose tomorrow they arrest somebody for exercising their rights. You know, I mean, once we're established, we'll control it. But if they try to do something before we're established, that's where this is powerful, because everybody can come and serve on anybody else's grand juries, or we can, or we can rally together on something like that. And that's powerful, and that's what we need to do. That's part of the power. And I don't care if we only have 20 states or 30 states, or if we only have 50 counties, this is still we the people, and it's like nothing that they have ever seen organized. You see, the trick is that we have to be organized, and we have to be willing to stick up for each other and go to these things and give our support.
So, and by the way, they're never going to be able to execute that without the foreign troops, okay? Remember that. They'll never be able to execute that without the foreign troops. They have to put down the sheriffs. The sheriffs, from our perspective, have to stand up, and we, the people, will stand up with them. That's why it is so important that we get to the first order of business is to save our republic. We need to take control of our judge, therefore take control of our courts. We need to put the prosecutor back in the box, and we need to train the sheriff on what his job is. We need to educate him. We need to let him know that our door is always open. We need to let him know we will assist you with anything you need. If you have to deputize people because you have a problem on the border, just give the grand jury a call. We'll get it out to the network, and we will be coming from all over the state to get onto those borders to deal with whatever the sheriff tells us to do. This is his job, to protect our counties. The 62, and so it should be 62 in our state, but there isn't. There's 58, I think. But anyway, the 62 sheriffs of New York State, and whatever number of sheriffs you have in your state, it's their job to work together, maintain control, keep the federal government out of here. There should be no martial law. There should be no foreign troops. We need to send them home now. They need to get on a plane tomorrow. When we take control, they need to get on a plane tomorrow. Leave their crap here. We'll mail it to them. Just go home. Get out of town. Leave the soil of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Texas, whatever, California. Leave the soil now. And this is the only way we're going to stop this. We are in a state of emergency. We do not have any more time. Get on the phones. Get people out to our website. Get them to see that there is something that they can do. Follow up on that call. Get them into the calls. Get them into the site. Get them educated. Get yourself educated. And let's save the country. Go ahead, Corey.
Oh, that was it for me, John. I just I've been out of it for the last month or so, fighting my battle here in Honey Eye Falls. But we are planning on setting our election date here in Livingston County and likely Ontario County. We have reps from both of those counties here tonight. We're all just tuning in and glad to be here with you.
All right, great. And let's get the elections going as quick as possible. You only need four or five people. Ultimately, the big job is really going from town to town posting. Other than that, everything else is real simple. If you need our help, we'll travel out to help you. But we have everything laid out, and we're traveling all over right now. We're going down and doing the elections throughout all of New York City. We have people throughout everywhere. We're going to Westchester, Rockland. We're going to Queens, New York County. I mean, all the counties down in the lower part of New York, we're going down and running elections with them. We're helping them out. And we all need to do the same thing. You know, I know we have Joe, Big Ideas Joe's. I don't know if he's on tonight. Is Joe in here tonight? Yeah, Joe Atkins. Joe Atkins, I know he's capable of running the elections and stuff. And if people call him and he's available, he'll come out and help in his area. And I'll come up if I have to. Whatever. Let's just get it done.
Okay, the next person online who's been waiting to ask a question is Don Levine. Don, your mic has been unmuted. You may speak. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm going to move fast because I don't want to hold this call up.
Try to send your speakers away from your mic so they don't face your mic because we hear feedback. But go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me all right?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you good.
Okay, relative to tonight's presentation, so when you're trying to enforce your indictment, you serve that to the court to get a hearing, so you don't need a sheriff to actually go arrest somebody, you just summon them to court?
Oh, yeah, that's all you do. No, we're not arresting anyone. We're calling them in. in order to question them. If we consider an indictment, then we send an indictment. We send that down to the courts. And then the whole process goes through. Let me mute you while I talk, and then I'll unmute you when I'm done. Then the process goes through the system. The lawyers for both sides get together, and they start going through the discovery and have the conferences and plan the actual trial date. It may take 8 months to get that together, and then they go to trial. But, of course, really, the grand jury wants to work overtime to not have to send anyone to trial. They want to try to settle the problem, to negotiate it out, arbitrate it, and look for a remedy and see if and once the individual that is the defendant understands, well, they could be facing a very harsh sentence of some kind from the trial jury because they don't know what the trial jury is going to do. But here we're giving them the option of restitution, and if they're guilty, they'll probably take it. And they'll take the restitution because at least they could be free walking the streets as they make restitution to the person that they injured. And in return, there's a lot of good things that come from that. This person is learning a lesson. The humanity of it through the relationship might have compassion and realize the wrong. They may truly repent in their heart, and we may even save a soul. Who knows? Of course, God saves souls, but our actions may help to assist that. And we're bringing a person back into society. So we're really accomplishing a lot of things. We're reinstating the individual, restoring the individual who's injured, and we're hopefully bringing the other person back into society to be a better people here in our state and country. Let me unmute Don again. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, yeah, because that was just, when you discussed this with people, that was one of the biggest questions, you know, how does the grand jury have any teeth? Who's going to go and arrest this person? So the person's not arrested, they're just called to court. Hopefully you mediate a response and there's no hearing.
Yeah, that's correct. And if someone needs to be arrested because they're a violent individual, once we pass the papers into the court deals with that, sends the sheriff or whatever has to be done there. I think the only people that need to be put into a jail cell are people who are violent people. And so each case has to be looked at. You know, someone may have committed a violent act, just did something stupid, and isn't really a violent person. So if it's not in their nature and we can figure that out, then, again, our founding fathers weren't into jails either. They were into justice, and justice is restoration, to restore the individual. So that's the key thing. Anything else, Don?
Okay, thank you. I want to address the constitution free zone for that gentleman, and then I have just another quick question. No need to worry about constitution free zones. Those are really relative to the Fourth Amendment. They want to have search and seizure without a warrant. They want to get in and search your car. They want your laptop, and they want to go through your laptop and find your emails embedded in your hard drive to the terrorist organizations you're working with. So don't worry about constitution free zones and those holding up the grand jury. It's really an irrelevant matter, and we won't run into that. Going on to what I would like to do, is there any way to get a copy of the documents you showed in the presentation tonight? It'd be really good to have those in my hand.
Let me mute you while I respond. Hold on. Yeah, I'll post this up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put this into a written form and create a PDF, and I'll get this up onto our page. I'll post it up on Meetup. I'll put it up as a file, and anybody who goes out to the site will be able to just go out and look at the files, and they'll see something posted up here. I'll also post it, I will post it on our jurist orientation page, and somewhere around here I'll put it in, maybe right under the affidavit.
Maybe this is both best on the page that you view the have the opportunity to listen to past seminars and just put the supporting materials there. It would make more sense.
Okay, we could do that. I could do that. We'll get it up there, and I'll send an email when it's up there out. So we'll take it from there. Okay, anything final, Don, before we move on?
No, that's it, John. Thank you very much. You've been most helpful.
All right, Don. Yeah, I think if we move on the grand jury quickly enough, we won't have to worry about these constitution-free zones. Go ahead, Gerard.
He understands that he can get this whole thing after this, that this is archived. You can go back through it, play it, freeze it, and then learn how to get on New York the meetup and go play with that, because all that information is on the meetup. You can go just out there and get it, and this shows you how to get there, too.
Okay, who's next? I see Jim is unmuted. He's on phone. I don't know if he wants to talk, but he's been unmuted. There was someone else here.
Yeah, Vivian's been waiting for a okay. while. She's the last one with her hand up. They must have just lowered their hands.
Where's
Vivian? Vivian, you're here.
Yeah, I am. Hi.
How you doing, Vivian?
I'm doing good, thank you. When I go on my private page, I can't find my profile. Or the right side of my page is completely blank. Why is that?
Okay, you're talking about, let me mute you a second here. You're talking about on the meetup page? Is that what you're talking about, this page that I'm looking at right now? Is this the page you're talking about?
The page when I click, is this the page you're talking about? Yeah, the same one you have, but you have. Can you see my page here?
No, I can't see yours, but on the right side, you see where it says My Profile?
I don't have that.
You don't have that. Maybe mine is this way because I'm one of the organizers, but you should have that somewhere.
I looked everywhere. I can't find it, and I don't know what to do. Maybe you can send me another one.
Are you on meetup.com, National Liberty Alliance, or are you talking about National Liberty Alliance, this page?
I am on National Liberty Alliance page.
Okay, you don't have a profile here. We're not set up that sophisticated on this site yet.
Oh, so where do I go in order to...
You can go to... What you do is you click on this link here. You see the link I got my cursor on right here? It says Join Our National Meetup.
Yeah, of course.
Click on that, and you'll go to a page where you can join here, which is our meetup group. Okay? So I see somebody went and took care of these members that were waiting. Gerard or Carl?
Oh, I found it. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Vivian?
No, that's it. Thank you. I just wanted to be able to do that, and now I found out how. Thanks.
All right. Anybody else? Mic's open. Any other questions? Are there any text questions left? To look at?
No, I've been answering them as we go.
Okay. Let's see. Jim's... I'll just mute his phone. If he wants to talk, he can raise his hand. Someone mentioned earlier what buttons to press. Someone might want to repeat that. Does anybody remember that?
Well, I saw it. It was *4 to bring up a menu prompt and *6 to mute or unmute, though we as organizers have to unmute their phone in the first instance. However, the gentleman did write back and say *4 doesn't do anything, so that may be incorrect information that I found. Definitely okay. *6 does mute and unmute, but that's it.
Okay.
Joe Ahito just raised his hand.
Okay, go right ahead, Joe. You got the mic, Joe. Joey?
Oh, this thing's weird. Like, mine has a button that you have to push to unmute it. I didn't know that. That gentleman that was talking about the constitutional free zone.
Right.
You know. John.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you know, he says, don't worry about it, but I'm a little concerned about it. Because anything, they're going to look at this movement here as we're going against them. So if you're crossing them borders or going close to them borders, and they get a hold of your laptop and they start seeing all this national liberty stuff, we're going to be in some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest to anybody that has, you know, this group or any other Tea Party groups, definitely make it where it burns their hard drive. You know, at least start looking up for that.
Listen, there's nothing we can, we're out in the open already, Joe. You see, we don't have to worry about it because they're not gonna get what we got here. They could do that without getting our computer. You know?
They already done it.
Right, they've already done it. They admit it to us. Hey, we watch everything, you know, but you know, we only kick out what we want, you know. So it's an illusion to think that you can hide from these people because you cannot. So our strategy is to do everything in the open, give everybody everything, and our strength is in our numbers and our process and the fact that, you know, everything we do is founded under common law, and ultimately we can argue everything to a success. I mean, we would win if we get to tell our story. So that's what we rest on. We rest in that. And the only way that we don't win is if they say, well, the Constitution's over, you don't get to tell your story, and we're going to hang you. Which, if we don't succeed, that's going to happen anyway. So
well, and
we're over here. This is why we're doing this. And the thing is you can't hide from them because they're listening to everything. Although, they're not listening to us particularly. They got a very big compartmentalized system, you know, and stuff goes under the radar and flies by them because, you know, listen, let's face it, that, you know, it's a big operation and people get tired and they don't necessarily do their jobs right. They have the same problems we all have, you know what I mean?
That's why they got the banks of computers logging and cataloging. Story, but you know, our strength is not just in our numbers, it is in the knowledge that we have and the knowledge that we are digging up and the information and the understanding and the internalization of what it means to be actually part of a republic and one of the people and a king who understands what his court is and how to move his court and how to use the arm of the government as the employees of the people as they were originally meant to be. Not everybody in the system, in our government, is out to get you. Some of them are just ignorant, and we're here to educate as many people as we can so that they can see the gist of what is going on. They can see that the founders had this philosophy and were honorable in these intentions in formulating this government we have for these United States. So it's not something that's new. It's just some things that have been forgotten. And these things were implemented way before the Constitution. The Constitution is a fairly recent set of constructions. And so these practices in common law date before the Constitution. So remember that we are not granted any abilities or capabilities by the Constitution. That just outlines the operating procedures for this corporation we call the United States of America.
Okay, yeah, well, that's understandable. I understand that, but I also understand the fact that I've been in this system, you know, for a long time, and I haven't seen one just or lawful judge. They all throw the book at you. And I can say that by personal experience. I went to prison for driving a damn car.
The powers that be look at everybody or all of us, shall we say, as imbeciles or infants or persons, beings that don't know any better, and they need somebody to take care of them. And that is what we're taught since grade school, is to look for somebody
and
to give
allowed
you
them to do
and
it.
Tell you. Correct, we've allowed them. So that's why I say it's most important is the knowledge of the self-empowerment, knowing that you are able, that you are a king, and you do know what is right for you, and to step forward and stand up and say, I don't need you to tell me what's right for me.
You know,
do that when these people can throw the book at you and
here's the bottom line.
And as an example, a thief will come in and rob you. And even though there are laws that say you may not do that or you'll be thrown in jail, that doesn't keep that thief with some kind of weapon, let's say, for his ability to take power, to come in and, you know, remove your items and threaten you and hold you and restrain you. There are people, whether in power or not, who will be abusive. And the only way that we can try to alleviate that is by moving forward with, in this particular instance, the powers of the government that will lay down what the common law, whenever we get the grand juries and not just one grand jury, but grand juries across the nation, all of them coming together. Now we're this is such a huge force that people really don't understand. You can do it as an individual, moving your court as yourself is very, very powerful. We have history of success with that. This is the next biggest thing. The grand juries are so powerful. People need to really internalize that this is the end. Whenever we put these and move these things and move the grand juries and start indicting and start bringing actions, like John says, they will run. Those who are corrupt, they know it's lost. They know it's lost. Of course, we all know it's a scam, so it may cause them to lay their hand and implement right away. They may try to take control, and FEMA camps may all come up 100% because it'll be that or lose.
We are 30 seconds to midnight. This is so important to realize. But we can, if we act quickly, if we can get the counties that are in elected right now within the next 3 weeks, and every county that's in right now could do it in 2 weeks. Heck, I did it in 10 days from the day we met. 10 days, you know, in my group, in my county. We just did it right away. Not even 10 days, 9 days later. So anybody can do this, and they could do it right away. They can get the grand juries in place. We can take control of our courts. You have to understand there are only two powers in this country. Let me repeat that. There is only two powers in this country, political power and judicial power. And judicial power is the most powerful of both. Okay, judicial power controls everything. It controls the cops. It controls the elected officials. It controls the bureaucrat. It controls everything. And we, the people, at the grassroots level in every county, that means every single courthouse, we are going to take control of the judge in every single courthouse and require that he return back to the Constitution, that he opens up a court of record, a constitutional court, which is a common law court. Once we do that, they lose. You have to understand this can be done very quickly. The prosecutor could be put in the box in the first week. Before you even come into the second week, you could be talking to the sheriff. It may take 2 weeks to work all the problems out with him, with the things we spoke about tonight. But within 2 weeks, if we all get diligent on this, within 2 weeks after coming into power, we can take total control of our counties through our sheriffs and through our courts, and there's not a damn thing. They've lost all control at this point because they must control the courts to control the people. If the feds come out to arrest an individual on state soil, in New York soil, the grand jury can require that individual and all of the officers and the people that put the order, everybody on the carpet within 24 hours. They can set free that individual that had been hijacked, that was taken out of the state. They can set that person free, and they can apply charges against all those officers and all those people to make an example out of them, to let them know, don't you dare come into our state to kidnap our people. If you don't have due process and to prove and to bring before a grand jury, you can't touch him, okay, period. Nobody can be taken into custody and kept in jail without going through a grand jury. That's the law, and we will fix that. So, you see, they have no control. And when the sheriff gets on the border and said, you can't come in, and all the other sheriffs in the state and the other states are saying the same thing, you can't come in, stay out of town, that's it. There's nothing they can do. They will not go up against the sheriff as a whole. Yeah, they'll go out maybe after one sheriff here and a sheriff there, but there's no way they're coming out after 62 sheriffs in New York State, and there's no way they're coming out of 100 sheriffs in Ohio or whatever number of counties they have, and so on. They're just not going to do it. Their whole system falls apart. They've lost control, and we will overtake them in no time after that. We need to get working now. We see a lot of hands up. Who's up next?
Marilyn Miller has had her hand up the longest.
Hey, how you doing, Marilyn?
Hello, Marilyn.
Good, John. When we file with the county clerk,
right,
do we need to have a secretary and a foreman in place?
Yes, because the foreman has to sign it. So you have to at least have a foreman in place when we do that. So at least an acting foreman. It may be a person that doesn't want to be a foreman. Maybe they just don't feel that they're really qualified. But they could be the foreman until someone else comes in that feels they're qualified to take that position. It is the most important part of the process. But remember, you can borrow a person from a county. You have a situation, I can come down to your county and work with you. And if I have to, I'll take over the foreman position in that county for that moment of time.
Well, I'll take over as foreman. I'll do foreman and secretary if I have to in order to get it.
And I'll assist you.
Okay, great. And then once that's done, will you have a written plan for us to be able to go to the judge?
I think what we're going to do is this. I think this is what we're going to do. We're going to try to do three or four counties at a time. We're going to get access into our courts, make that access available, and then we're going to work together collectively. We have 17 counties south of New York, okay, and we need to be sitting on each other's juries. We will assist everyone that we can, even if we have to do three counties a day, and we come down to work with that and then go to another three counties. You know, we split it up throughout the day in order to meet with the judge and put him under control. And then with the prosecutor we can get later. But we'll work with the people who don't feel that they're ready to do something like this on their own, of course. We'll have to make a plan. We'll have a meeting here in New York on this, and we'll do this online somewhere. I'll write a paper up, and those who feel comfortable to do it on their own without assistance of us being there, fine. When we have a really hardcore case, a situation that we really want to make sure goes well, there are very experienced people in the state of New York, and we can call the few experienced people together and say, hey, let's go down and sit on this jury because they have a particular problem and we want to make sure it gets fixed. And so we can come down and help. So there's enough of us and we'll do what we have to do. We're at war. I look at this as we're at war. I eat and sleep this stuff, okay? This is it all day long because there's no more time left with 30 seconds to midnight.
There's another form of a categorization here, and part of our plan of keeping things sort of uniform is that, you know, every jury foreman will at some point will meet with the other 60 whatever jury foremen, and they will discuss things that are common to their counties, so that when we initiate them, we're all doing basically the same thing, like the order of who we call in. You know what I mean? That type of stuff. So that when those problems come up, we're all dealing with the same issue. And so then anything that we have to push through a court or something like that, you know, that settles it and becomes a precedent for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you get a problem that, you know, on some of these upper ones, like the judge for the county or whatever, and he doesn't want to behave and we have to force him, all the counties will be asking their judges the same thing. So, you know, it's only going to take one judge misbehaving, and we will answer that. And then once that is answered, that'll be answered for every county. So that will kind of keep it. So we coined the name the super grand jury, where the foreman goes in and then he brings that back to his county. You know, what we discussed that was common to all the counties. And listen, and that's the only things that we can cooperate on are those things that are common to everybody. Everything else, and it filters down on a
right,
county by county basis.
We can assist, though. We can assist.
Right. We can always assist. Right.
Remember, it's a state boundary, not a county boundary. That's the key thing.
Right. But that will keep it somewhat uniform as far as the issues go. So, and people will learn. One county will learn from another county. Well, look at what happened here. You know what I mean? And they'll have whatever material it is, you know, that they need.
And we are brainstorming right now a tool set online where we can collaborate. And that's one of the facilities that the new online presence will help coordinate.
Yeah, I will create a special page. I'm not sure what I'll call it, but it'll be a page of papers where we'll write prescriptions on how to do this and how to do that. We'll also put this paper together that we talked about tonight, and all this information that I did a little bit of a PowerPoint on. We'll put that on the same page. And there'll be a page where you can hit the tab, and this will be instructional on specific situations, you know, how to deal with your judge, how to deal with the prosecutor, how to deal with the sheriff. And let me say another thing, what you might want to do is this. You can set, let's set up, they got Wi-Fi there. Let's set up a computer system, and you can pipe us in. There'll be other people. They do this in court all the time. The last time I went to federal court, they had the lawyers responding from over the telephone. We'll do the same thing, and we'll be able to assist people all over the state, and
right.
and we'll be able to talk that way. Also, we want to record our conversations with these people. If you want to tell them that you're recording them, fine. That could intimidate them a little bit, and maybe they need that. If you don't want to tell them, you don't have to, because it's lawful to record a conversation as long as you're part of it, okay? And so record the conversation, and if you think it's important that you
John,
can send
John,
it to
that's
me.
Not, that's not true in every state, so if you're not
Oh, no,
New York,
I know that. I'm just saying New York. I only
well, I know you're talking to a lot of people here, so
that's true.
Don't take that as legal advice. Check your state laws.
Well, yeah, you can go on the Internet and find out if it's legal.
Just
I think there's only
this
two or three area. States. Yeah, two or three
just,
states.
Just trying to keep you out of the
federal
booty
courts, huh? anyway.
Just looking out for you there, buddy.
Anyway, here in New York, anyway, you could do it either way. You'll have to find out in your own state, other states. But the thing is by recording that, you know, someone like myself or Lee or Gerard or others can go and listen to this tape and give you some thoughts and ideas, and then you can continue conversation with that judge. But look, we'll fumble along. We'll make mistakes. We'll fix those mistakes, and we'll just get by. It will be what it'll be. So we'll work it out.
I want to say one more thing, too. I don't want to take up too much time, but we never planned on doing this nationally. It kind of, you know, people came into our talk show and then they wanted us to open it up, and it didn't. It took on a life of its own. We never intended to do this nationwide. Well, we hoped it would go nationwide, but we never intended to really have such a, you know, people collaborating like they are, which is good that they did. The thing that could push things quicker and maybe forced us as states to work together is the fact that we have some of these kooky presidential edicts that could be put into place at a moment's notice, and Obama has a switch on the Internet that he says he can turn. So, you know, before he
We're
ever does
that,
well, you see, but that's going to require all the grand juries in all the states that we have going up and pulling that on the carpet, and of course that's going to be a very, you know, it should be a very televised or you know, talked about thing, obviously. But that could happen because, listen, this Internet, this is everything to us today. Nobody buys encyclopedias anymore. There's no encyclopedia salesman banging on your door. It's on the Internet. It's people's Bible. It's on the Internet. People are buying and selling on the Internet. Their checkbook is on the Internet. I mean, I could go on and on. If you're on a computer, you get the idea. This is the new library in the houses. So, therefore, it needs to be protected even more. Our First Amendment right for newspapers and stuff, the Internet needs to be protected even more than that because it's in our houses. And they can reach into your house through this thing. They can turn it on. They can watch you. They can get all your information. But worse than that, this is the tool that has allowed people to educate ourselves. Like Lee said, it's the knowledge, and this is what's waking people up. We cannot let them turn that knowledge off on us or allow us not to have this medium. So we have to defend this computer as our First Amendment right. You have to be willing to go to death for it, just like you would go to death if they told you that you couldn't print a newspaper in your town. And I think this is more important than the newspaper in your town, because this takes into a whole lot more than that, and the government has to keep their hands off of it. This is something of we the people, and it's you know, people's livelihoods are out here, their lives are out here, and our crazy kids are on Facebook talking about everything in the house. I mean, it's ridiculous what's on the computer. I don't agree with it all, but the last thing we want to do is that let those government fingers touch my children and your children and come in our houses and restrict it and turn it on and turn it off or use what's on there against us. So we have to move real fast to keep our communications up, because in battle, the communications, every good strategist knows that if you don't have communication, you lose the war.
Okay, who's next there?
Vivian Deinhardt. Vivian, are you there?
Hi. I have a question about if someone is from another state, can that person become a jury in my state?
Well, if you move to that state, I don't know about visiting that state and being on the jury. I don't think that's wise. But, of course, if you move to another state, you can become a jurist immediately.
Yeah, well, let's consider a grand jury, which is a persistent jury in a particular geographic location, and a trial jury. For a grand jury, I agree with John. It needs to be those who are domiciled in that area who have peers in that area. If you're looking for jurists in a trial jury, there shouldn't be any reason why, if he's one of your peers, to come across the border. I don't see any issue with that.
Yeah, but if we follow that, this can also work for the grand jury too, because remember, the grand jury, the stabilizing group, the group that's always there, is really just the leadership, and it may be only half a dozen of those people or four or whatever it is, and then the rest of the grand jurors would be called in for a day or two, those people out of the pool. But of course, anybody who wants to put more full-time or half or part-time effort into this, they can just pick up and do it. You know?
And we should have plenty in the jury pool for a true grand jury, knowledgeable people in each state.
So my friend was visiting Ken?
Well, you know, I don't know. We have to. I think we have to think about this a little bit. Where are they visiting from?
Minnesota.
And what state are you in? Not that it really made a difference, but, you know, what state are you in?
California.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see why they couldn't sit in with you, but whether they can make the vote, you know, I guess they can. I mean, you know, we belong.
Yeah, it's kind of a touchy subject for sure. We in this common law environment, we are the ones that make the rule, the people and the sovereign. So if you get down to it, Of course, you can do whatever you want, right? We do it right. But to keep the honorable show and to keep those looking in to say, hey, you know, they're trying to swindle some extra votes here, we want to make sure that it is looking very clean from the outside.
Right.
You can't serve. Like, if I'm a grand juror in my state, I don't think that I can sit on the seat in another state just for a trial. Maybe if I moved my domicile out there, and I was planning on moving there. But, I mean, in the state, we can serve in any county. But if we start switching up states, that's a little dangerous, because then you can have a group that takes over all the grand juries. Well, I'm flying in Colorado tomorrow. Then we're,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, each state is its own country, and as we move to a unified, more global economy, it becomes less of an issue realistically. But like I said, for the people on the outside looking in, it is just more substantive.
I think right now our answer would be no, they shouldn't do it. We can think about that later, but right now let's just keep, because I see too many problems that could arise, and we don't have enough knowledge to make that kind of
right answer. And not that it wouldn't be noble with the right intentions, because I definitely would and take my knowledge and go and help do the just thing. So if it comes down to it, there shouldn't be an issue, but it could be portrayed as a mafia kind of proceeding and trying to take over. And
is there anything else, Vivian?
Yeah, the only thing I would do is...
No, I just wanted to know about that, because
okay.
I have a friend that is willing to help, but this friend is not from the same state.
Okay. Did you want to finalize on that, Gerard?
I was just going to say is that we would maybe go to a different state in order to consult with them. Like, let's say we had somebody that was more knowledgeable and there was a state that had a problem, and we happened to, the grand jury happened to have an expert over in such and such a state, and, you know, they could call him up and use him as an advisor in that kind of capacity. I mean, I could see us crossing state lines to do that kind of work. Especially in the in the capacity where, you know, I talked before about how each county grand juror would meet, each foreman would meet, and they would bring things back to the counties that were, we'd call them the super grand jury. And, of course, that would go up to the state level, too, where each, they would get a leader for each state, and they would meet and bring back the things that affect all the states.
All right, let me open up, Al. By the way, Carl, you're unmuted if you want to talk. And also, so is E-L-E. How would you pronounce that? L or Ely? Ely?
Ellie.
Ellie?
Ellie?
Ellie. Go right ahead, Ellie.
Hello?
Yes, hello, Ellie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Al. I'm sorry. This is Ellie from Montana.
Ellie from Montana.
I've been, that's right.
Okay.
And I've been trying to get in on the chat and everything else with this. We definitely like to get in on this here in Montana.
And we want to help you.
Well, good, because I think I sent this out to the group about a constitutional attorney that was speaking on one of the local talk radio shows, definitely criticized a citizen's grand jury.
Right.
Said it's a waste of time.
Right.
I don't know if anybody listened to that.
We don't. We don't listen to attorneys.
Well, no, I mean the talk show.
Okay? Oh, okay.
He basically is saying that you don't have a chance in hell to accomplish this. Okay. So now there's another attorney that came on, Tim Baldwin. He's also on, and I put this out, polomontana.com, and he's another attorney that's fighting against, they're promoting a CONCON, an Article 5 CONCON, Constitutional Convention,
right,
which is fine. That's another option. But they're cutting down a citizen initiative grand jury.
Right.
Now, in Montana...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What you have to realize, though, is these people are zombies. And I'm not, and I really mean that. They really are zombies. They're brain dead. They're totally been brainwashed through their education and through their profession. They indeed are the New World Order minions. The New World Order could not have their power without their minions. They had to create an army of minions to go out throughout the whole country, throughout the United States, throughout the nation, I should say, throughout the United States in order to take control of our judicial process. And that's who they are. They are true believers. They believe what they say. They think what they're doing is okay, and they have no clue on what the American heritage is. They don't know what liberty is. They don't know what our founding fathers taught. Heck, they don't even know half of what the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled upon. They don't know Marbury versus Madison. They don't read the law books to get the interpretations of words. They don't know what a court of record is. They don't know what the Declaration of Independence is all about. They think that that's passé, that can't work anymore. We're too technologically advanced for that to work. These people are ill individuals, in my opinion. They're the New World Order minions, and we just have to go forward. We will succeed. What they're saying is true. What we're doing would never work if we continued the way we had been before we got to the point of going national the way we have. If we were doing a county here in this state, another county over in that state, yeah, they're having their little successes, but they're going to lose the war because it's not strong enough. We realize that we have to get 3,141 counties to make it work. Go ahead.
Right. I understand that, John.
Yes.
But the thing is, one by one, they are cutting us down. When you have
yes.
a state like Montana, supposedly the last great place or whatever the heck you want to call it, they look at you and they just ignore you. So how do you accomplish this? The Montana Constitution says only a district judge can call for it, a grand jury.
Yeah,
so,
and that is null and void. It is repugnant to the Constitution. It is Marbury versus Madison makes the point very clear. That's an irrelevancy. It's in contradiction to the Constitution.
Yes,
and it doesn't
yes.
stand.
Yes and no, because
and
if you look,
with you,
if you look,
John,
in,
but how do you get somebody to listen to
oh,
you?
Oh, well, forget about letting them. Forget about getting them to listen to you. Just think free, act free, and do it. How many counties do you have in Montana?
56.
56. You need to get as many as you can on board and file as many at one time and just keep piling on and piling on. File the papers, take control, file the papers that we set up, which makes it clear they can, there's nothing they could do about it. And then you know what? You start indicting them from the outside, from within, and we'll start indicting them from without. Once we can indict from other states, and we will do that. We know Washington has the same problem.
Well, really quickly, Ellie, you know, in your constitution it says a judge can or is allowed or is the only one to bring forth a grand jury. And Black's Law says a judge and tribunal are used simultaneously, synonymous. And a tribunal is the one cloaked with the sovereignty.
That's the grand jury.
Who is the people, correct. And so it's saying right there that one of the people, one of the sovereigns, can call a grand jury, which is exactly what we're doing. You just got to understand the law and the terminology. What is the judge? And they'll take
the
ignorance.
I can understand the law. We've been fighting a lot of things. It's the courts. Like I keep saying, you've got the two branches of government. And I know the Constitution is nothing really because our inalienable rights existed before the Constitution. But they use the Constitution against us, and we have to comply with it. So we have three people here in Granite County, Montana, who say, or four, or 10, or 20. Okay, we got a grand jury. So there you go. So then what?
Well, but the thing is you have to establish them in every county. Look, it's going to take a little time. It'll take a little time, but you could do it quickly. If you get a couple of people organizing the counties by finding leaders in different counties, and the ones that you do get leaders in, start establishing them. Don't file the papers yet. Just establish your grand juries. Get the whole election process done. Get all your paperwork done. Get your seals ready. And you hold them, and you put them in a file in your desk at home, and you wait until you got 20, 30 or so counties, and then you file them together. And then you go out, and you put the word out to the judges. Now, they may reject you, okay, and some of the counties may succumb to it. And if they do succumb in certain counties, then the counties that they succumb to, that the grand juries came into power at, then they can indict from there that judge. They can pull that judge in off onto their carpet and say, you're getting in the way of the people's business. Either you get out of the way or we're removing you from office and indicting you now.
But you see, the state constitution does not have precedence over the national constitution when it's abhorrent to it. And that's an abhorrent law. It is no law. Now, Scalia gave us, in Scalia versus Williams, he spelled it out. He said the grand jury comes from the people, and it cannot be interfered by the judiciary. He said it's in effect a fourth branch of government. So the judiciary cannot stand in the way of the grand jury, because that would be like the executive, the president, like they let him get away with, getting in the way of Congress or the Senate and telling them, well, you're not going to vote because I'm doing this. But you see, they let them get away with it. We're not going to. We're the fourth branch of government, and we're going to stand up in power and in unison, and we're going to call them on the carpet because, listen, the Constitution is still in effect. So you say they use the Constitution against you. They're using the state Constitution, and that particular part of the state Constitution is null and void. It is unconstitutional, and therefore it holds no effective law.
First
when that
all,
comes
I don't
out on a national
like,
basis, they're going to lose. Those states
I know,
will lose.
But I just want to say I really thank all of you for doing this. I think it's great. I think this is the answer, because we have to rein them in. All this corruption, and believe me, we have a lot of corruption here in Montana. We have
Everybody
to hold
does.
These elected and appointed officials accountable, and this is the way to do it. I agree with you 100%, and the fact that I hear some of these attorneys that are going against it, I know this is the right way to do it. I'll be looking at that common law video that you have, and I'll be coming in on every week, but I'll tell you.
Stay away from the attorneys.
Well, look, we're going to get Idaho to help you. We're going to get Wyoming. Wyoming may be a problem, too. We're going to get North Dakota to help you. We're going to get South Dakota to help you. We know Washington has the same kind of a problem, but Oregon, I think we can get through.
Yeah.
And we in New York will help you, too.
State
we
almost.
Will all, we yeah. will pile on those people. We will pile on.
These are, there are three states that say that they, I think there's three states that say
yeah,
that
I think
they,
it's
that,
Washington, Montana, and maybe Oregon.
Let me tell you something. If all the other states initiate their grand jury, those three states, that law is going to wither away. It's going to be gone. They will not even evoke it. That's my prediction. So if
I'm
you're worried about it.
I'm going to just leave you with this one thing. Back in 2010, we did have an initiative, a citizens initiative, because we do have the initiative process to amend our Constitution to implement a citizens grand jury. Okay, well, there wasn't a much time. They didn't get the signatures involved, so it went down the tube. If you look at the Montana Constitution, and I know you say it's the national constitution, but the Montana Constitution is the most progressive constitution in the United States. It is totally socialist, and they abide by this damn thing.
This is an American thing, and we're going to help you. New York will be there, and I'm sure there's other people
who
will say.
And I'm a
California will be there.
I know you can do it.
Florida will be there.
That's right. That's right.
I will travel personally if I have to out there to be there.
You can stay with me if you
want. I'm on my way. We're packing the bags.
God bless you all.
I can see we're not going to be married anymore because John's going to have us all over the country now.
Hey, you're welcome in Montana, and believe me, I'll get you all over the state. Don't worry about it.
All right, well, look, work on your grand juries and become closet grand juries for a while. Keep it in a file. Become file grand juries. Put them in a file and just keep working on all your counties and all your counties. And when you feel you got enough counties, that's when you file it, okay?
Now, listen, they cannot tell you that you can't do this process. Now, imagine if they come out and they say, you can't meet and talk about that.
What happened to the Fifth Amendment?
That's right. They cannot.
We can do it, but... they don't listen to us.
Get the people in your county, you get them to sign up, you get it all made out, you get the papers all notarized, ready to go, you just don't file them.
Right, but when you file it, when you file it with the clerks, okay, when that judge goes to remove that, he's going to see the top piece of paper facing 20 years in jail if he tries to make that clerk take it out or if he takes it out himself. 20 years in jail, and we will impose that upon him, and we will send indictments from every county that has a grand jury. We'll send indictments with seals on that individual with the threat of 20 years in jail. We will put the pressure on these people.
So we have 50 states, and we got three states that think that the people can't get together and tell the government what to do. Soviet Union states.
That's what we need because, you know, that saying, what happens in Las Vegas stays in? Well, what happens here in Montana stays in here. We need help from outside.
What happens in Montana affects New York. We'll be there.
Thank you, and have a good night. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Who's next?
I think Ellie is suffering from what a lot of people are, and that is not the internalization of that this is law. This is case history that we're relying upon. It's not some farce. It's not something imagined up or something that we dug up from the Dead Sea Scrolls, per se. It is things that are being implemented and still being followed to this day. It's just not well known.
Go ahead, Carl.
Okay. Hey, howdy, everyone. So to
howdy.
Extend on the hidden fourth branch, what Gerard touched on, the 1992 court case. There's a book out there called The Hidden Fourth Branch by Marcaille, and one of the things it mentions is that the French used to have a grand jury between the 1700s to 1941. After the Nazis took over, they no longer had a grand jury, and when the French took it back, they kept it that way. So it, to me, it says something about the power of the grand jury, and for any lawyer or I still like to separate the word lawyer from attorney. Attorney passes a bar. I'm not sure if a lawyer has to pass a bar
They robbed our language.
Black's law defines a lawyer as anybody who studies law.
Yeah, so I'd like to separate those two. It helps me because I think we're all becoming lawyers. I think it's gratitude to all the work and what we're doing, the time that it takes for us to do what we're doing. I think we are becoming lawyers, sort of like what the founders had done for themselves, because they studied various things. They didn't pass a bar to become an attorney, but they did study law. So I think that's very telling that the French used to have a grand jury up until 1941, but they do not any longer. And what is at the heart of France but socialism? So that's one major point. So, talking about a citizen's grand jury, and attorneys perhaps like to reference citizens a lot, and they probably want us to think of the United States citizens versus...
Oh, you know what? By the way, the calling of the grand jury in their law identifies with the puppet grand jury. You know, that's where we would apply it anyway.
Say that again?
It would apply to the puppet grand jury. Let's call it the citizens grand jury. You know, we're the people's grand jury.
Yeah,
until
sure.
We get rid of the fiction, we better use people versus citizens.
Yeah.
So when they talk about the citizens
grand
jury, it's the puppet grand jury. It has nothing to do with we the people.
Sure.
They're not going to call us, that's for sure.
You know, it's
and actually, that's how they use the Constitution against you, because if you give that rule credibility... in other words, it's legal in their fiction, in their corporation. And the way that it's legal is that you enter into it and you give them jurisdiction. See, that's what we're teaching people, how to stay out of their jurisdiction.
Right. Well, and understand the Federalist Papers reference the term citizen, but I think they came from the point of the state citizen, not the government, you know, the country citizen from New York, from Vermont, or from whatever state you belong to. They weren't referencing the United States citizen because it didn't exist until 1868, the 14th Amendment. And obviously there's a lot of contention with what all that's about. But the citizens grand jury, when attorneys reference it, I think of what the 14th Amendment is about. It's not for the people anymore. It's for the United States Constitution, and it's for the United States. For this entity, this corporation, and it's not about, it's more about statutes. It's not about really
right.
What the people are envisioning. Which brings me up to the other point. Marilyn from Putnam County mentioned when we go forward with opening our.
Oh, by the way, we have an election going down in Rockland. I don't know if you can make it. That's tomorrow night. Anybody who can make the Rockland County election for the grand jury.
I envision it. I perhaps am bringing my 5-year-old because I'm just kind of short a sitter. But yeah, I plan
sure,
on being
you can
there.
Bring a child. Why not?
we'll have popcorn, right? And
yeah.
Maybe a movie or two.
Well, we got three short movies.
She'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I think she would enjoy the second one anyway.
Well, to segue into from the citizens' grand jury and opening up a grand jury. A people's grand jury, common law grand jury. Well, the idea, we are a people, and we are creating this process, and I think it doesn't matter whether you're a foreman or a secretary. I've been in my group working behind the scenes more as the secretary. I'm not, I don't like to be up front. I like to be I'm more reserved. I like to be in the background. So I think it could be just as important or as relevant as the secretary opening.
Well, I
up.
Think they both carry clout, secretary and foreman.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it doesn't have to be just the foreman doing this. Yet my group has not decided on who the foreman would be, and on a couple occasions I've suggested that the foreman would be more outspoken, somebody. More willing to travel, perhaps, more willing to deal with the media.
Yeah, the foreman grand jury definitely, absolutely definitely should be an outspoken individual, a person that is diligent on studying the common law and the process and what's going on, and really be in a leadership ability. But, of course, if someone doesn't and they want to step up as a foreman temporarily, as an acting foreman until someone else could step up, we'll do what we got to do. You know.
Well, in the meantime, I still think the secretary is important. I think the devil is in the details, and that's sort of like how I look at what the secretary does. He keeps track of everything and keeps things moving along. It's a title that I'm interested in, but nonetheless, I'm putting it out there that it's an officer, and I think that they would have as much say in doing paperwork as the foreman. In fact, I think they probably might be more suited for it in certain places, especially since they're keeping records. And what was the other thing?
Carl, I think they can even sit in for the foreman because they will know what's going on, and in any situation where maybe a foreman couldn't be there and the secretary's familiar with
absolutely.
The paperwork,
and they can go
the
back
secretary
and
would bring that forward to the group and say, well, this is what the foreman was working on and this is what we're doing, and for that night, it's like a town board.
Yeah,
you
that
know,
person
you got the
would
supervisor,
be the acting foreman.
You got the deputy supervisor, you know what I mean?
They'd be the acting foreman, period, as far as I know.
Right. They'd be
the
acting foreman
for that,
right.
That committee at that moment for that day or whatever it is. But bear in mind, there's going to be two or three foremen. There's going to be two or three secretaries. There's a lot of administrative work to do and a lot of, patrolling, so to speak, to keep these people in their boxes. So there's going to be quite a few people involved on that level.
The more people you can empower to do that, the lighter your workload will be, too. I mean, you want to give people a chance, especially if they're very, good on their feet. You're going to want to encourage them to do that. So like John says, you can have more than one foreman. I mean, some counties are going to be real busy. They're going to need more than one grand jury, no doubt. But, if you've got a foreman that's really good, he could actually be a foreman for more than one county. He could probably, he could sit in on another county on cases that they need someone that can articulate.
Right, they do that with
judges. I mean, it's up to us to decide what we want to do ultimately. As the fourth branch of government, nobody else is dictating to us, okay? That's the bottom line.
Sure.
So
and this is no different. This
first,
is no different.
What it is.
This is no different than the judges. The judges, even the, like, let's take that guy Platkin up where Gerard's at. I find him he's often up in Albany. And you have judges moving from county to county because they're filling in. One's sick, one's on vacation, has too many cases, whatever the case may be. They move from county to county because it's only one Supreme Court. So we really only have one court system in this state. Just we happen to have 62 locations of buildings for convenience for the people in each county. That's all there is to it.
So
same
again,
thing with the grand jury.
I mention it as because, some people are more soft-spoken, but yet they have as much to say, perhaps in a meeting or behind the scenes. So it's important to reference that the officers will be, I think we talked about, when there's an investigation, the initial part of it is that there's four people, the transgression piece.
Right.
I assume, we're inventing this because it is the people. There's no statutes. We can do this in our county how we see it and how we see fit.
However we want to do it, we do it. Now, there is a statute out there that requires a signature when a jury comes into that. And I'm not sure whether this what state this was in or where I seen this, but I seen it today. I was doing a little reading and looking at different places, and I'm sure I got it in my notes somewhere. But there is a statute out there that requires, for instance, when a grand jury indicts, the only signature required is the foreman, okay? When a grand jury puts a presentment, the claim is out there that every jurist on all grand juries, all the people on the grand jury has to sign. And that's not acceptable. You see, because they don't need to know who these other jurists are. It's none of their business. It always is meant to have been secretive to protect the individual. So nobody can come out on these people. So they have to be secret. And the only person that's out in front really is the secretary and the foreman. Now, even though their names are out there on a piece of paper and it's known to the people in court, they're not permitted to release those names to the public. Okay, if they do, they will be held to be paid, because again, this is supposed to be in secret. And what's his name? Scalia makes the point on that too. Of course, the That point is also made in the Magna Carta.
Yeah, no, well, it's interesting you say that. So, all right, so be it. The secretary and the foreman or however many foremen. It gets confusing when we don't, what makes sense for us. I don't know. I think one foreman at least and one secretary.
Well, yeah, at least. And if you look at 62 counties and say, okay, let's get 62 counties and let's get 62 grand juries and 62 foremen. And let's say certain counties are real slow, but other county next door is pretty, a lot of things going on. Well, the grand jury from one county can travel to the other county and they can work out the help and sit on two grand juries operating at the same time if that's necessary. I think the only places that might be necessary really is in the cities, particularly down in New York City in our case.
Hmm. Okay, and then one other thing, there's a WMG Thompson. I sent him an email. I'm going through the list, John, tonight. I saw the two new members for National Liberty Alliance. So I've
okay, great. And you put the state and the county next to them, right?
Sure, yeah, it's detailed. So
piece of cake, right?
If people out there, well, sometimes they don't always list their town, so I can't find their county. So WMG Thompson, please just, I see he's online right now. Just throw your county out there for your profile in the National Liberty Alliance, and that's it for me.
Yeah, someone also signed up and didn't put their phone number, and then they checked the box to be a organizer, and so nobody has a way to get a hold of them because they put 00000000. If you don't want to be an organizer and you don't click that button, no one will see your phone number or your email address. But we don't show anybody's email address. Because we don't want these crawlers to come up and strip email addresses and then you get more junk mail. That's why we didn't put emails up there. We just put phone numbers. And really, the business that we're doing, we don't want people to communicate by email. I mean, yeah, that's kind of a follow-up thing, but the real communications has to be on the phone. This will not work. If you think you're going to send out, 100 emails and get people involved, forget about it. It's not going to work. No, you got to make that phone call. You got to get the person out to the website to watch the video. And by the way, I changed the video a little bit. I added in some information concerning the process. We were missing that on that page, so I added it last night. So we have process in there and lays out the law and how we can get enforcement through the process itself. But anyway, make that phone call and get people out to the website, watch the video, get them to sign up, follow up on the calls, and then start following up on, hey, were you able to get three or four people? Are you ready to set the date for the election and so on? Push, push, push. We're 30 seconds to midnight. Go ahead.
We have people who've been waiting for almost 50 minutes. So the next one in line here is Jesse Baker. Jesse, hello. You've been unmuted. Do you have a question?
Hey, Jess.
Yeah, I have a – hello. Hi, John. I got a couple questions. I'm going to ask the most important one first. The election here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is coming up on the 30th of August. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, we got you booked up there too, don't we? We have all the right information on the meetup?
I saw it briefly as you went to the Meetup Alliance calendar, and
right.
I saw that
chance,
it was listed.
Make sure all that info is correct, though, okay?
Okay,
but go ahead.
I'll take a look at that. The election, when we have, I'm going to do my postings. I already started posting in some of the towns, and I'm going to continue tomorrow and hopefully finish up by the next day and also contact the newspapers. The question
remember,
I
there
have
you call it a press release, so it's free.
Press release, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The question I have is when people start, coming into the meeting, how when I go to take the election, the vote, how is it important to know that the people that are voting are from the county?
No, because they can come from anywhere. Because remember, the boundary line of a grand jury is ultimately the state boundary line, not the county. You can operate and indict anybody in any county anywhere in the state. You could be called in as a backup grand jury or go into another county that doesn't have a grand jury and operate right there because you have that authority because it's within the state line. But the key thing here, when we do the voting, it's really a very simple process. We start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. We spend a minute or two to explain the what we're going to be doing. We're going to be showing three short video clips, which is going to take about 28 minutes. The first one is going to be on law and fiction. The second one is going to be on liberty, the true meaning of liberty. And the third one is going to be the introduction to the common law grand jury, after which we will then take a vote. So you play those videos, then you come to the end of it, and then you ask everyone that is in favor for reinstating common law grand jury here in the county of whatever, and raise your hand. You'll find it'll be unanimous. If not, it'll be majority. But one of those two words will be used in your affidavits. You need three affidavits. So far, everywhere I heard has been unanimous. Then you just double-check and you make the announcement out loud. It looks to me that it's unanimous. People will agree. Then the double-check, is there anybody that disagrees? And then that's it. Well, I wouldn't even go there. If everybody agrees, yeah, that's it. Then you go. Now people will have questions, they'll want to talk, so you may get stuck another half hour, an hour just talking, and that's great. You're going to also ask all these people to join in to the grand jury pool, not to the jury pool. They could be called to be a grand jurist, or they could be called to be a trial jurist over the course of time. And if they're busy when they're called, well, fine, we'll recirculate your name and we'll call the next person. No one's going to be forced to do anything, but it's our duty to try to do what we can.
Thank you, John. Another question that I have is to be able to impanel the jurists after we have the other counties that are surrounding us and we file. How do we make sure that we have enough people signed up to impanel the juries? Because what I was planning on doing was start, after I have the election done, is just start handing out those flyers and trying to get people to sign up,
in the county. When we start filing these things, more and more people, there's going to be a floodgate at some point, and that'll fill us up. Meanwhile, we're going to have to move a little slow, but remember, we can fill each other's juries. I'm going to a lot of counties. I'm getting in New York County. We will get the five counties together, and we will say, okay, let's take the next 5 days. On Monday, we're going to do the Bronx. On Tuesday, we're going to do New York, Manhattan. On Wednesday, we're going to do Queens. Then we're going to do Richmond. Then we're going to do Kings County, and we'll probably tie Long Island into there, too. But the point is this, is all of us, no matter what county you're in down there, all of us is going to sit on one grand jury. We're going to go talk to the judge in the Bronx. I'm going to be with you. I'm sure Gerard's going to come down. Maybe Carl's going to come down. There's other people. Marilyn might want to come down. There's a lot of people that will come down, and we'll sit on that. We'll fill those seats, and we will deal with that judge in the Bronx, and we'll make sure he understands we're now common law. Okay, then Tuesday we do Queens, Wednesday, and so on. We'll do the whole city that way, all right? We may do the same thing in this block area where we're at, which is the Catskill neighborhood, We'll spend a week, 5 days. One day will be Greene County, one day will be Columbia, one day will be Dutchess, another will be Ulster, and then Orange. And then maybe another few days to do, and we'll maybe do two in a day, okay? One in the afternoon.
You only need four people to do an investigation. Most of the time...
Right, but I'm talking about the initial work to bring that judge into the common law state of mind.
Well, basically what you're doing is an investigation. In other words, you're bringing him in to question him. He doesn't know why you're calling him. You don't have to tell him why.
Right.
If you read Williams, it says just because you want assurance that the law is not being broken.
That's right. We're going to tell the judge that. Exactly.
If they want to know why they're being called in, you tell them read Williams versus the United States. Then you'll figure it out. But you still only need four people to go ahead and move on anything. Like, let's say somebody even comes to you and they have a problem and they want to turn somebody in. You wouldn't necessarily grab every grand juror, all 25 or whatever. You would impanel a people of four people who have the time to sit there, take the information down, check it out, make sure it's true. So you're going to have a core of probably four people that are very active that will do most of the investigation. And then it will change. You'll change off with different people, but you should have at least four people to do an investigation. And you could move forward with four people. When it comes time when you got to do a presentment, you're going to want more than four people. Yeah, but when you call that meeting and you say, okay, we need to present evidence now on our investigation, and we need as many grand jurors to show up as we can, Once you have that meeting, whoever shows up, that's a quorum. It doesn't matter if it's 7 or 12 or 20. You can move ahead with that group.
I think they operate on as little as 4, and so we can do then. But
that's
yeah.
the point I'm making. You don't have to have 25.
I'm going to chime in here, and I'm going to disagree. I mean, they move forward on petite grand juries, but to do any real power as it states in the Magna Carta, 25. 25. It does require 25 if you're
yeah, but even Thornton says when you call to 25, whatever shows up is the quorum. Even Thornton says that in his paperwork.
What I'm telling you is they can't tell you what a quorum is. We decide what a quorum
is. That's right. If we only have 12.
If we say that today 12 is a quorum, then 12 is a quorum. That's it.
That's right.
And I mean, we don't want to be stymied by not getting 25 people together.
They don't even know anything about the common law anyway, or the history of it.
Exactly. I mean, the more important the case is, the more you're going to want more people there, obviously. If it's a big case, you're going to want lots of people. But the fact of the matter is, if it's a big case, you're going to get them all anyway. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to have any trouble filling 25 seats. And if you can fill 25 seats and you can fill it all the time, God bless you. You know?
I'm wondering if we shouldn't send a copy of United States versus Williams to the judge or when we file this. Maybe we should file just at least with the court a copy of that that case. What do you think?
As a judicial cognizance?
Yeah.
I mean, when I went to the federal court, I was kind of surprised because they made a lot of different references to different cases, and I got like 6 full cases. They actually gave me the whole case in print right there in the package.
Nice.
So maybe we should do this for the when we file with the clerk of the court. Maybe that's the only one we should do it to is add a copy of United States versus Williams. You know, we've got a lot of the.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely good.
But yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Gerard.
I think that's a good idea because the more information. I'm sorry, what's that? The more information we get them, the more credible we become. And don't forget, we're trying to educate these judges, too. You're going to get judges that read this and go, holy crap, I knew there was something wrong. Yeah. And they're going to come right on board. They're going to say, this is the way it's supposed to be.
I think you're right. I do.
You know what I mean? I mean, I wanted to make a point, you know. Dealing with attorneys, I don't want to say lawyers because we are lawyers in a certain sense. And, you know, you get that baloney that you can't do that, listen to that. Well, you know, there's nothing new under the sun here. Like Lee was saying, you know, this goes all the way back to the Magna Carta. And common law has been, around for a long time, which, you know, since Anglo-Saxons and the Mosaic law. But anyway, when the generals were here and the King George was running the colonies and they started cracking down on the colonists, they used to bring them into court. Now, England had common law and the people had a process. They had a parliament and they had basic rights like we do. And so what would happen is in America, you know, if we were under admiralty law because we were colonies and we were under England and that. And so when they brought somebody in, they had the rights of a jury of their peers and all this other stuff like we're doing. And so what would happen is the general would have somebody arrested because the king wanted to arrest them. And what would happen is the biggest books they were selling over here at the time was like Black's Law Dictionary. Everybody was reading law books. They were so interested in America and the law and the common law. Blah. So he would bring them in, and they would argue their own case amongst the jury of their peers. And guess what? He couldn't get any convictions. So when King George called him back, he says, what's going on? I don't see too many people coming in and change. He says, I can't convict them. They know more law than I know. And King George said, well, then arrest them and throw them in the bottom of a boat and bring them over here and we'll convict them. Well, guess what? That was the Patriot Act now, wasn't it? So our forefathers knew what the Patriot Act was, and they knew it so well because when you got thrown in that boat to go to England and you were down in that hole, and it might have taken you I don't know how many months to go across the ocean, you had a lot of time to think about it, didn't you? And our forefathers knew exactly what it was to be blackbagged and get. You see, everything that happened to that's happening to us has happened to them, only it happened slow motion to them, and they were able to think it out. And so now all we have to do is climb up on their shoulders because they did all the thinking for us. And there is nothing new. Listen, the passions that, that people go through that make one man want to get over on another man, they haven't changed since the beginning of time. You ever hear that song, "A kiss is still a kiss as time goes by"? We don't change as human beings. What we, you know, greed, envy, jealousy, hate, that's all the same crap. Well, our forefathers made these decisions knowing that, and they actually had a Patriot Act. King George was the first one to put it in, and it's and so that Constitution is not archaic. It deals perfectly with the Patriot Act. And it's what it says is it says that Patriot Act is no law at all. It doesn't. What's that quote that they say? When a law is not constitutional, it holds no force.
It is as if it is not even existence. Null. And
that's
void.
Right. That's right. It doesn't. It offers nothing, and it could be ignored as if it never existed. And
exactly.
Whatever it outlaws, you can just go ahead and do it with impunity. So that's where we're at, and that's why this is powerful. And this is you know. This has gone on before. This is just a repeat of history. You know, so if you don't know history, you know, if you don't use history to light the lamp that lights the feet of where you tread, you're going to go in the wrong place because you're going to repeat the stupid same mistakes. So anybody that tells you our forefathers didn't understand a modern society, they had even a better understanding of it, and they had a lot of time to think about it because the same tactics were in effect. It just was that when you got Guantanamo, you didn't get there in 12 hours. You got there in, you know, in 3 months.
All right, Eugene, you've been unmuted, and Jesse Baker will leave you unmuted for a while if you want to pipe back in. Eugene, go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you. My question is similar to one that was asked earlier about people from other states, but mine, the people are domiciled. I have people that are snowbirds. They have a house here, a house in California, or a house here in Utah and in Arizona or Nevada. And so since they're domiciled here and they live here.
I think that would be more appropriate, that kind of a situation, to sit on numerous ones because they kind of live in both or three of those states. So, yeah, I think that would be appropriate, I think, for sure.
Well, I figured that, but I just wanted to double check because. Yeah,
but we
can
make this up as we go because we're the people. And it just sounds logical to me that that's a case that I think is a no-brainer, in my opinion.
Hey, look at their statutes. They say if you're in another state more than 30 days, we want you to change your license.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
You know, and what right do they have to tell us that even, if you think about it?
What right do they have to tell us to get a license?
I understand that. So what I'm saying
I drive without one.
Listen, if you're, I would call being domiciled in a place is if you spend 30 or more days there at any one time, and anybody that spends 30 or more days in a place can be depended on to show up for 30 days. Hey, they could do a trial maybe. You know, a lot of these trials they take about a week or whatever. You know what I mean?
Did you have something else, Eugene? And Jim, you're unmuted if you want to pipe in. And Jesse, you're still unmuted. And that was it, Eugene?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Jim, go right ahead. Your phone line is open.
Hi,
Jim,
John, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Being brand new, first of all, when somebody goes and registers as a jurist, if they don't select that they want to be an organizer, will they still be listed on the website?
Well, no, they won't be listed on the website. They're in a private area of jurists. But even though you chose to not put your name up there, doesn't mean you can't work, give a call to those other people and work with them and do whatever. Everyone, even the people who haven't chosen to be organizers, should do some organizing and should help whatever they can, make phone calls, talk to people, help filing.
Well,
that's
my question is how do we find out who those people are that chose not
Oh, well, first of all, if they don't show up on a leaders list and they say they're in the background, then they're in the background. It doesn't matter. Anyone can help us. But how do you get the list? As soon as you become a jury, okay, and you file and you get that paper and you put the stamp on it, you get the seal. You've done the election, you've made the declaration, you put the seal on it, you'll send it to me, and we'll work on that this week to try to set something up for that. You mail it to me. As soon as I get it, then Lee or someone will make a connection with you and give you access to your state, and you'll be able to get in to see everyone in your state anytime you want. You know, we'll send it to one person, and you guys will share it with minimum people.
Well, so you're going to... The reason why I was asking that is because I want to be working with people right now to help organize the state.
Right. What state are you in?
Missouri.
Send me an email. I'll send you a list of the people. But the people that have zero next to their names, you know, keep respectful to them the fact that they did not check the list to be an organizer. But ask if they want to help. Ask them if they can help solicit and get other people in. Ask them, you know, you want to talk with them about getting them to the election anyway, and just ask them if they'd be helpful, that's all. But if they just don't want to be bothered, then you have to respect that too, because there will be people just signing up and say, yeah, I'll come and serve maybe once a year when you call me. And that's what they want, that's what they want. But we'll give you the list. Send me an email requesting that particular county that you're talking about. Well, actually, the state. Let me see, what state are you in? Missouri?
Right.
I'm trying to think. Have you and I spoke on the phone?
What's that?
Have you and I spoke on the phone?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, I
thought so. We talked about your buddy Tom.
Right. Okay, give me what you want to do is send me an email and we'll see what we can do for you, okay? Or better yet, call me during the day sometime. I'm going to an election tomorrow, so I won't be around after, I don't know, 4 o'clock or something. But up till 4, you can get me. Let's talk. Okay,
sounds good. Also, when you're getting organized in your county and you want to do your election, is there like a minimum number of people that need to be involved at that point?
Yeah,
before
one.
Election?
Minimum is one. Literally. If you were an energized person and you're willing to drive around to all the towns and one person could do this whole thing. Of course you want to get people to come to the election. You need at least 3 witnesses. And if you have to call 2 people from outside the county to come in to be witnesses, then that's what it is. But you want to, you know, in theory you could do, one person can do it. But get 3 or 4 or 6 people working together. And try to get 10, 20, 30, 40 people to the election.
Right.
Don't count on the postings, because thus far we've had nobody show up from the postings. But we do it anyway. We did the honorable thing. We're still telling, let's do the honorable thing, because that's what needs to be done. And we also haven't had anyone that I've heard of that showed up in the newspapers. Not to say that they haven't in places. I just haven't heard about it. So they didn't in my county. We had a lot of people show up in my county because I made phone calls. I spent the whole day before and the day of calling people, telling me, are you heading to the election? What election? What do you mean, what election? Have you been paying attention? We're having an election to get the grand jury back in. So people came.
So, John, you're going to keep a database of all states and for the jury pool for those states.
For right now, I'm in control of it, and Lee's working with me. There's 2 people that have access to it and control it. We don't share that with just anybody. We want to be very careful. As soon as we get to a point where we're organized, we're going to move the control of that database to an individual. We'll probably hold it. So there'll be an overseer for 3 months that'll oversee the national database and the website once we organize the country. And that will shift every 3 months to different people in different states. And they will sign, whoever is in control of that, they will sign a contract, and they will be put under very stiff penalties if they break an agreement and break the privacy or anything with that list and with that control of the website. So we'll pass that around, and no one person will ever be able to hold on to that and try to gain some kind of a communist rule from a top down type structure. But until then, we're going to share, and every state, every county will have access to the database to the entire state, every county. Because remember, you can call a jurist in this county, that county, or another county. It doesn't matter, any county in your state. That's why you have to have the whole state database. And I'm suggesting that the secretary take care of that business. It shouldn't be dealt with three or four or five people. The secretary should have that. And if someone has to help the secretary and get access into it, that's fine. Every grand jury is going to have to work that out themselves. But that's the responsibility of the secretary to maintain privacy over that list.
Is there anything anywhere to call out the roles of the secretary, the responsibilities? Like
I'll
a foreman,
we're going to write a paper. I haven't had time. Maybe in the next 2 weeks or so, I'll be able to start writing papers. There'll be some other people who probably write papers. And we're going to create a page. It'll be sort of like an instructional page where you go in there and look down the list. Ah, this is what I'm looking for. And you open it up and you follow the instructions, kind of like what's the process, what's the procedure, what kind of line of questioning is involved here, how to do this or how to do that, you know. We'll do the best we can to put it together as fast as we can, it'll happen. We're all learning together, so.
Yeah, I commend your website because I've been watching Carl Miller and listening to Bill Thornton and getting an education.
Huh? Heavy-duty guys, huh?
Yeah, they are.
Carl Miller's got an ego bigger than Texas, but it fits him. It works for him.
Yeah, with some of the I listened to the first two videos so far, and it's like, wow, I never knew that. I wish I would have listened to him like 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Now, you better not try to challenge Carl. He'll chew you up and spit you out.
And you won't even know it until it's done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he'll do it with that little quirky smile of his.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Hey, I've been doing stuff like this for a long time, trying to figure out what to do about this country. And one of the things that we always have come into is this enforcement. And it seems to me like we've got that figured out.
Yes, we do.
Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Were you in earlier for the beginning?
Yeah, I've been on the whole time, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, because we laid that out. It's pretty obvious how it works, and there's nothing they could do about it.
The reason we have it figured out is because we know the process, and that's what they've been hiding from you, is the process. You know,
I do got to thank you guys, because I tell you what you put together here, this is this is plug and play.
We're doing the best we can to make it as simple as possible. But we all have to remember what Jefferson said. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to have to get educated. But as far as getting this off the ground and running,
right.
You guys have done one heck of a job. Thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and working with us, and let's do it. What state are you in, by the way?
I'm in Missouri.
Missouri, that's right. Okay, yes, Missouri. Yeah.
And, I've only been just had knowledge of this for a couple days, but, just thinking about it, if we could get half of the people that were supporters of Ron Paul onto this thing would be done.
It'd be done. Absolutely right. I've been trying to get the Ron Paulists for a long time, but I think they're a little worn out.
Well, that could be, but this would be a lot easier than what they did.
Absolutely. There's nothing more powerful than what we are doing. We are literally going to set the clocks back to 1789. No exaggeration.
Yeah. Yeah, and the comment that lady made about these constitutional attorneys and a con is scary.
Oh, yeah.
That is scary.
Well,
you
want to
see this country absolutely change. That'll happen in a con.
Yeah.
And as far as them putting down these citizen grand juries, whatever they want to term them, if I was an attorney, I would be scared to death, because I guarantee you right now you open up your yellow pages, and the biggest group in there is attorneys. And after this is done, there ain't going to be very many attorneys.
That's right. Attorneys are going to be out of a job. Either that or they're going to have to learn common law real quick, and there'll be no need to stay with the New World Order and remaining a minion because they're not going to be – we're not going to need that anymore. So you're absolutely right. You see, a lot – this is so beautiful because just by taking control – understand this concept and just think this out from each level and every problem you can think of. Just by taking control of the ground roots of the courthouses in every county, every courthouse, by bringing them back to common law, you just shut down everything. You shut their whole business down, all of their criminal activities, just gone overnight, literally. And the federal courts, they'll just leave us because they'll have no work to do, because if they come into our state, they come on our soil and want to deal with someone that belongs in this state, they're going to have to call us as grand jurists, and we're not indicting in federal courts. I mean, I can't think of a reason to indict anyone in a federal court. I'm trying to think of a case that would be required to indict someone in. I mean, maybe it exists, but I can't think of anything.
Well, somebody else was talking earlier about this constitution-free zone stuff and all this other stuff. As soon as this is done, all of those bogus laws are gone because there isn't going to be anybody to enforce them.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Well, what's that commercial many, many years ago, the appliance guy with the washing machine or something, he's the loneliest guy. What was that commercial? Anybody remember?
Maytag.
Okay. Well, that's what the federal courts are going to be like. They're going to be sitting there just so lonely. They're going to have to close down shop and leave.
Well, I think that's going to happen with most of the county courts, too.
Well, as long as if they're Supreme Court courts, that'll be fine. It'll happen with the town courts. The town courts are going to go out of business because they're not going to get any business. Because we're going to require them to reveal the fraud before they try to apply any case. You got to let these people know that if you don't want to consent, I can't do a damn thing. But if you do consent, you know, you might get a fine. I might put you in jail, so on and so forth. So which is it? Before he finishes, the guy's walking out the door. He's gone. Or she's gone, you know. You can't bring people into a fraudulent situation. We won't allow it. The grand jury has a duty to fix that wrongdoing, and we're going to fix it.
Yeah, and there was a lady that talked earlier, and I think you guys got on the subject of, you know, like procedures and methods of doing things. And I see this as it's not going to be anything different than what they're currently doing, because the judges have conferences and conventions, and the clerks do, and they get together.
That's right, the SMA Association, that's right, where they plot against them.
Exactly, and we're going to be holding the same things.
Right, but we're going to have clout, we're going to have the trump cards.
Yeah, they're going to, you know, they've taught the towns that the courts are a big part of the revenue for them. You know, I remember when I was on my town board, And they got the credit card system. Oh, they loved that because people didn't mind paying their bill with a credit card, and their recovery rate got so much. You know, they keep track of all this stuff. You know, you get a little town court that makes $80,000 or $100,000 in a year. That's a lot of money in a little town. You know what I mean? That could be a third of their budget that they're bringing in with their little backwater court. And, of course, if you hire a real aggressive sheriff and they get together and you got an area where we could just kind of, like, kind of suck people in, I mean, that's why you got these books written about the worst highway traps in America, because those towns have learned to troll off the people with these victimless crimes and pulling them in because they think we're still playing Monopoly and you land it on the community chest and you got to pay so much and don't pass go and don't collect $200.
Right.
Okay, John, there's a question here that someone was asking about those statutes or the codes. I believe it's USC who talks about the grand jury and penalty for tampering with the filing and grand jury
right.
indictments, those kind of things. If you would bring those back up for him.
Yeah, there they are right there.
There
are three U.S. codes. And by the way, you have a copy of these codes. Let me just put this down for 1 second. And if you go up to grand jury orientation page, you'll find a zip file at 05. It's video number 05. And right next to that 05, you will find a zip download, and you'll get all this stuff. Now, I'm just going to show you what's in that zip file, his documents. Now, if you hit the, let's see, what is it? Grand jury filing. Where'd this go to? It should be a file on demand in here.
Post on demand?
No, that's a post on demand. No. All right, let me go. I got it in another place anyway because I'm working at different counties. Hang on a second. Let me get to these grand juries. And I just did Rockland, I think. Here's a file on demand here. You'll find it in the zip file. And this file on demand is two pages, is what's put on top of your papers when you want something filed. And it has these laws in here, 1512B. It's got 2076, 182071. So it's got all of them in here, the same ones. So you can get them on that download. And we're going to post this up anyway. But let me put that page back up now.
That file on demand is what you take along to the towns, and if the town clerk gives you
a post, that's a post on demand. You take the post on demand. If they give you a problem, you give them that. Then you do what they want. If they don't have a post it up, well, that's fine. You've done due diligence. They just interfere.
So that's a different document then that you were just showing?
That's different than the file on demand, yeah. But it is
the file on demand you would use. The file on demand you would use against the county clerk that refused to file your paperwork when you're instituting your grand jury, and you have to file it at the county clerk, and then
right
to go also up to the
whoever
court
being a clerk.
Yep, and for those
refuses.
And for those who are plaintiffs in a case trying to file motions or any other kind of papers, you can use file on demand to get your papers filed.
And we're going to use a file on demand to file our papers both with the county clerk and the court clerk. They will file them. And then when we go after that, we're just going to file with our stamp as a grand jury. We're going to put our county grand jury stamp on it and then file the papers. They won't dare refuse that, nor will they dare take it out of that file. Because they've been informed the first time this way. They're going to remember these codes. They better etch them into their brains. But this is the biggest one right here. This is for the judge. This is written for judges right here. There's no doubt about it. When you read through this, you can see it's written for judges. Whoever knowingly uses, intimidates, and threatens or corruptly persuades another person or attempts to do so or engages in misleading conduct. Sounds just like a judge. Misleading conduct towards another person with the intent to influence, delay, or prevent an official proceeding, cause or induce any person to withhold a document or other object from an official proceeding, alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal an official proceeding, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. That is written for the judge. And that's what you'll call him on the carpet on if he tries to mess with the paperwork in the files. That's powerful.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
John, Title 18, that's criminal, right? And then Title 42 is the civil part?
I believe so. You're right. 18 and 42. 42 is the civil, 18 is the criminal. Yeah.
Okay, so under an 18, what would you do? Notice the Attorney General?
No, you just indict. If he's got a choice, he's got
the
a choice.
The indictment comes from the county grand jury.
Oh yeah, the indictment comes from the grand jury. Even though we're a county grand jury, we really can operate anywhere in the state. But yeah, no. Once you file those papers in, if this guy tries to get in the way of those papers, okay, then you call him on the carpet. If he thinks he can push you around, well, I call up Greene County, who's gotten in, and tell Gerard, can you come down here and take care of this? And he pulls him onto his carpet and say, what are you doing down there getting in the way of the people's business? You either let that go through the way it should be, or we're going to indict you right here from Greene County, and you're going to lose your – you're going to be out of your job tomorrow morning because we're going to indict you before the day is out, okay? So get down there and do the right thing and obey the Constitution. And they're going to obey. That's why we're doing the counties and blocks. We got at least 17 to 20 counties, bare minimum, that's going to file the same day.
That's nice. Good idea.
And we'll do the same thing state to state. Go ahead.
In Pennsylvania, the court structure is different than it is in New York.
You're right.
Okay, and I'm just trying to understand to make sure that I file when we do go to file,
mm-hmm.
that it goes to everybody that it needs to get to. You know, because
Your courts? How are your court system set up? What do you have?
Okay, what I understand, and I, by no means am I an expert, okay? But what I understand is there is like JPs or Justices of the Peace. They have, you know, they're everywhere, you know.
That sounds like towns and municipalities. And
yeah, it's, and boroughs, and I think there's probably in townships too, like
right.
– sometimes there might be even more than one JP inside a
what
borough.
What do you have
like,
up on the county levels? What do you have there?
Okay, well, we have courts of common pleas, which I think is like a county level. But
what
then
you
have
to find out is you'll find one high court in every county. That's it. Now, if it's not a
I think that's the Court of Common Pleas. And within the Court of Common Pleas in Lancaster County, there's a pathonitary. And there is a criminal court clerk, and then there is a county clerk who's of the county commissioners.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I think that when we're talking with you before, who I need to file with is the criminal court clerk.
Right.
In the county common plea court of common pleas, and then also the commissioner. Commissioner clerk, that she would get.
Out, what's the name of the other court that's not a criminal court that's in the county level?
Well, that would be like the trial court, the criminal, court of common pleas, and
okay.
then
that
within the
like,
unified.
That sounds like your court, but go ahead.
Okay, the unified judicial system of Pennsylvania. Then from there, like if you would appeal, it would go to like the Superior Court. Then there's also Supreme Court.
Okay. Yeah, I was
looking
at your constitution and trying to understand how that worked, and it seemed like you didn't really get to a common law court until you went to the appellate system, and that was the strangest thing ever. But nevertheless, they're bound by the U.S. Constitution, which requires
right.
a common law court. So that court
Mulberry
that you
versus
have,
Madison.
And that backs it up, of course. That court that you have there has got to be a common law structure. You're going to take that brick and mortar, and whatever happens in those buildings is going to be common law, and that's what you're going to require. The telltale really is the judge elected for that?
Well, see, that's the other thing, too, because I was listening somewhere, and I think that in New York you only have, like, one judge in a court.
That's what's supposed to be, but there are more than one judge in some counties, but I think they're all acting. Like
we have appointed judges. We have appointed ones that are acting. And what I was going to ask you, too, along these lines, out of all those clerks and stuff, the most important ones would be any of them that have to be elected. Like our county clerk, that's an elected position.
Yeah, both the pathonitary, which is a civil court case clerk, and the criminal court case clerk, they're both elected.
Right. So those would be the two that I would concentrate on as far as the power of who would have to be notified because they're elected by the people. That's what gives the sheriff his authority, is he's elected by the people as opposed to being appointed. So whoever's elected, I would concentrate on them first.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have to deal with whatever you have to deal with.
You have
with,
to like deal with every judge in your county anyway.
Right.
But
right.
you want to get the one on the highest courts first, which would be the criminal, and work your way down.
Right.
And the other thing is that all of the judges in the Court of Common Pleas, and there's like at least 8 or 10, okay, and they're all elected, okay. All the judges are elected. They have a 10-year. Yeah, this is Lancaster County Court of Common Pleas, and there's probably, I have to look at the list, but I know there's at least 8 there, and they're all elected, okay, and they have 10-year terms. And
okay. I'm going to take a little bit of a better look at your state a little better and try to look at the structure, and I'll talk with a few other people that know a lot more than I do and see if they can look at it too.
Yeah, because I'm a novice and I'm learning as quickly as I can. I've been dealing with this for over 10 years locally with the Court of Common Pleas, you know, so I have an idea of, you know, what they are. But I never filed an appeal or anything like that because I just didn't understand it, you know.
Right. Yeah, it does seem confusing in Pennsylvania, I want to tell you, because I was looking at your stuff. There's a few states that are confusing, and I was looking at Washington. I was looking into Wyoming. Wyoming's a little confusing, too.
There is a president judge that's supposed to be the overseer of the court, okay? And then how he has any power over of the other judges, I have no clue.
Are you in communications with the other leaders in your state?
I have been trying to get a hold of people that were in surrounding counties so I could actually go visit them, and so far I haven't been able to set up a meeting with any of them.
Okay, if you have problems, you could talk to, do you know, let's see if he's on call right now. Let me see. Hagen Smith?
I talked to Hagen Smith once. That was when I was having a trouble with the county court or the county clerk of the commissioner's office to get a county room to hold the election. Mm-hmm. Where I finally ended up getting the election, being able to is in the city council chambers in Lancaster City, because there's the county government in Lancaster and then there's the city government. I got the city to go along with letting me have the city council chambers room.
Good.
And so the county never really did acquiesce.
Let others from other counties know if they have a problem. Go to the public library. Matter of fact, if you're in a city, I would say just go to the public library.
Well, you know, I did contact public libraries, and the one in Lancaster City said all the evenings were booked, and the one over here in Elizabethtown, where I do live, in Lancaster County, they said, they finally got back to me and I could rent the room there. But here, public libraries, here's a game in itself. They're not really public, at least in Pennsylvania. They say they're a 501(c) and they have a charter that, they're not really public. So I think somewhere along the line, maybe this is a game that's being played the grand jury is going to have to look into eventually.
Yeah. We're going to have to fix that, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Remember, we're going to have people that are advisors at some point. We'll have maybe a half a dozen people that are, highly educated in the common law process and been doing business in this stuff for a long time. And they will be available for counsel as we need them. We're going to work something out eventually with that group of people. And they're spread throughout the country. They're not in one state or anything like that. But, it seems you have a problem there. You've got to get control back of that to the people, and they shouldn't be charging anybody for that. If you were if you were doing an Amway thing, if you're making money, you should pay for the room, $50 donation or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they charged me, $50. Yeah. I told them it's nonprofit, civic duty.
Yeah, this is doing a presentation. I haven't got no money. This is for free, and we're getting other people to come in. It was all for free. It's a public service, and we're educating the people. This is our building. I have never had a problem with a library once I get to the point of the fact that this is a public service.
Well, they wanted money, too.
Yeah, that's a shame. So, you're going to have to fix that when you get in power.
I figured instead of trying to belabor the point, just get the election held and then, worry about it later.
Yeah. Let me stop this recording. It's getting too long here. And